All right, Joel Radio, welcome to Joel Radio. My name is Joel, hence the show. Welcome to, yeah, it'd be different if I was like, welcome to Joel Radio. It's Timmy, your host for the show. They're like, why is it called Joel Radio?
Guest host.
Guest host, yes. You could have done a show while I was away.
I guess.
If you wanted to. You had no desire to.
That's exactly it.
Exactly. So welcome back to Joel Radio. I know it's been almost a month.
Deals, meal, a month.
Well, you know what? I as I said on the show before, I was heading off to the gathering. I went to the gathering. Got completely sick at the gathering. Or at least on the way the week after I was sick. Right. So I had to recover from that. And then just shit got busy with, I don't know, I took a trip last weekend. And I don't know what's been going on, but there's a lot been going on. I've barely seen you since.
Yeah, in a you've
month.
Had a wildly.
I've seen you like once.
You've had a wildly eventful summer, and I've been.
Hey, what have you done? Well, it's over now. You can get back to your real life, which is so much fun.
Yeah, which is exactly
the
what
fall.
I've been doing all summer.
It's the fall. Back to all your fall activities.
Last year at this time, I was in Germany.
Okay, that was cool.
You know, we were in France.
It seems
and
so
Germany.
Long ago
I know.
That you went to Germany.
I know, and now this year I'm sitting here with a thumb up my ass. So, which Facebook has that very encouraging feature where it shows you what you were saying a year ago.
Oh.
And it reminded me that I was all these updates about what incredible strudel I was eating and how great the cheese was the beer.
Sure.
And I'm sitting here going, oh, Christ, thanks for reminding me.
Is this, I'm taking a guess that the girlfriend stopped working and the fun trips ended? Is that kind of the deal?
Yeah, just not part as, of it? Not, the budget wasn't looking that way this year.
Yeah, well, the budget's, yeah. I mean, I went to Cedar Point because I got free tickets. So,
well, that was like tax refunds.
Okay, yeah, that for your Germany trip.
Sure. And, you know, a bunch of gigs.
You had paid for a bunch of that in advance.
I mean, that had been, you know, I had stockpiled some money for that trip. And this year, no, thank you.
Well, gas is only twice as much as it was a year ago, too.
Yeah, so. I don't think I had as, I think I was, I think, honestly, if I remember, I had a bunch of gigs right before the trip, which
Did
was
you?
Great.
Okay, yeah.
I had like a month of work. Yeah. Right before the gig, which That's... right before the trip, which put cash in the pocket. But anyway.
Anyway.
Not
but
so much this
you've
year.
You've not been doing much of anything. Corey's been...
The gigs have been slow since July, and the movies have sucked at dong.
When does Hollywood just say, you know, we're going to give up on this whole summer movie thing?
Why don't they give up on Hollywood? Because Finney, it is
okay, but
over.
Can't... Okay, in the middle of, like you're saying, the week of October 1st, that Cowboys and Aliens wouldn't do well?
Yeah,
you know
I
mean, like, it's...
I know, they pump them all into the summer.
Yeah, and they all compete with each other.
Well, because the kids are out of school.
Yeah.
And Hollywood does not care about you. You are
you are
outside of the target demographic, Joel. Frankly, I just had a birthday that edged me right out of the target demographic.
Oh, Corey, that's it. And there it is.
No, I'm just saying, I'm getting old. And when you hit that 47, when you're out of that demo, that's when it's really
bad. Yeah, well, that's
bad.
Neither of us are in that demo.
No, we're not close to that, but I'm just saying.
Well, let me ask you this. I think what Hollywood's answer is to that is they'd rather open and soft, relatively speaking, than try to... You're better off to be number three in the summer than number one in the fall. Based about like the number of people that can actually go to the movies.
Let me ask you, what movie has played the longest this summer? What movie has been on top the most weeks?
Harry Potter.
You're wrong. The Help.
The Help has.
The Help is one.
Well, that's I just.
The Help is one 4 weeks.
Listen,
and you know what? I'm just gonna
listen.
What?
If every movie had the CGI and the effects budget that
right.
The Help did,
right.
It's
exactly.
Not fair
no.
To compare.
And that's a movie. With a bunch of chicks in the 60s, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's a message. Go fuck yourself, Hollywood.
Well,
take this 3D and wrap it around your necks and pull a Michael Hutchins from NXS, you soulless corporate scumfucks. Jerk off while you strangle yourselves. There's no... Did you see Conan the Barbarian?
I did not.
There you go. All right.
That is considered the... Okay, I just saw an article. I didn't want to talk about Summer. We talked about Summer Movie. I know I brought it up.
You brought it up.
I completely brought it up. But there was an article about
the biggest
flops
from the formula.
And Conan was one, and I guess Larry Crown, everyone says, was a big flop.
Okay, now granted, that's counter to my my argument about...
People didn't go to that.
People did not... Because The Help is a movie for grown-ups.
It is.
It's for adults. Mm-hmm. It's actually generally for older women.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the target demo for it, but people have been turning up to it in droves.
All right.
It's for an audience that isn't generally served by Hollywood, which is anyone who has hair on their dick.
Yeah.
That's not, you know what I mean? They want 14-year-old boys. That's what they want.
They do.
In Hollywood. The Glee movie tanked like a mother.
Yeah, and I'm happy about that. I want to say thank you for Glee fans.
The bloom is off the Glee rose.
But is that all the Glee fans went out and that's all it is? Or is it that Glee fans didn't even support this
thing? I believe that the people who will sit and watch Glee, there's a different audience for Glee.
Yeah.
There are housewives. There are people like my girlfriend who are like 30-year-old women who will watch Glee who were not going to go watch that movie.
Yeah.
Right? The movie was strictly catering to the
hardcores.
The vans full of kids in the mall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Glee
is something that people will watch because it's on Wednesday night or whenever it's on.
Right. I don't think the audience for Glee necessarily is exactly the same as the Gleeks, the fan base.
Yeah.
And I think they overestimated what that fan base was. I went to a screening of it, and I swear there were like 20 people in there. And I thought I was in for a shit show. I thought, you know, it was like that.
This was a public screening? This was something that people... Or what was
it? It was an advanced screening, but generally those things...
You've never
seen the Twilight screenings?
No, I don't want to.
The squealing that goes on.
Yeah, I understand.
The crying, the weeping.
I was at the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2 screening.
Right.
I saw a little bit of that.
But usually when it's a teen-oriented thing like that, you expect a crowd of kids, and you expect to hear girls menstruating. I mean, you expect to hear the sound... of cotton getting stained with blood because it's just full of kids and it wasn't
well but
you know what I mean like there wasn't any hype for the Glee movie
maybe because it's
out,
a Glee concert a movie and not a Glee story it's
that
not part of the Glee
exactly
universe
the problem the concert movie no one gave a shit
it's like the Brady Bunch concert. You know what I mean? Like that thing, it's a little bit like
first off they did songs that they'd already done on the show in a lot of cases. And the 3D added nothing, and no one wanted to see it. Anyway, that was a disaster.
Well, I'm going to start scratching things off our list of talk about.
There you go.
We've just used up 10 minutes on the Glee.
That's fine, but you know what else flopped? Fright Night.
Well, okay.
Now, that probably had more modest expectations for what it was going to do, but here's the point with Fright Night. You're exactly right about the summer movies. Schedule that October 15th.
Exactly. Why would that not be a Halloween release?
It's a damn vampire movie.
Well, first of all, what did Fright Night 1, the original Fright Night, make?
Yeah, it was...
I mean, it couldn't...
It was fairly successful, but
I'm guessing this new movie at least outgrossed it. I mean, certainly...
To the internets!
Well, I'm not going to bother looking this up, but I'm sure the budget was 10 times what the original was as well.
Sure.
And maybe they expected it to do more, but still, it's...
No, and it laid there flaccid and limp.
Right.
And I had to see it twice. The first time I saw it...
Why did you have to see it twice?
Well, because the first time I saw it, it was at a theater that's in a field to the south.
Okay, yeah,
and
all right.
Which is a rundown theater. I mean, It was a theater that they spent $25 million on initially.
Yeah.
It looked gorgeous when it opened in like 1997. And it was a great theater.
I'm guessing that thing opened in 1991.
No, later than that.
No, I was in the business when it opened.
95 maybe.
No, okay. You go ahead and keep talking.
What I'm saying is it was
wrong, but go ahead.
No, it was later than that than what you remember. But still it was state of the art at the time. And they haven't put a dollar into it since.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's a terrible experience to go see a movie there because the seats are ratty.
Yeah.
The sound and audio isn't great a lot of the time. And the audiences are hoodie.
But so you went to there and what happened?
Well, the bulb. The bulb, Joel.
The bulb.
See, when you watch a 3D movie,
you
have to set the bulb at a different setting that you set it.
Was that in 3D Fright Night?
Yes, Fright Night was in 3D.
Okay.
So you have to set the bulb at a different setting than you would for a standard 2D movie.
Okay.
Because what you do when you have a 3D projection, they put a filter on the lens and then there's the filter on the lens, and then you have a filter on your glasses. So by nature, 3D movies are darker because they're going through two different filters to create the illusion. Well, guess who blew that?
Yeah.
And so you have to adjust the bulb temperature, and they didn't do that.
The bulb blew up.
And... Either the bulb was dying or they just didn't set it properly. No. They didn't turn it up.
So it catastrophically failed? Or
It was dark.
It was just
you
super dark.
You couldn't see a thing. And it's a movie set at night. Right?
That's part of it, too, yeah.
It's a movie, like, there were some scenes in the daytime, and those were dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a movie set, it's a vampire movie, and it's all underground or in catacombs at night, you couldn't see them.
I saw Cowboys and Aliens at the drive-in, and they, for whatever dumb reason, maybe the movies were this long that night, they started it before the sun fully went down.
Sure.
And imagine the opening 25 minutes at night in Cowboys and Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
At the drive-in while the sun is still up.
Well, do they have
not
like a,
fun.
Do they have a curfew?
I don't know. I don't think they have a curfew. They just started at a
certain... But in the middle of July, the sun doesn't go down until 9:30.
Until 9:40, pretty much. It was bad. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh. So I saw Friday Night, and I went, that was terrible. Literally, there's a scene where a guy turns on a light, because he's like, is there a light switch here?
Yeah.
Turns the light switch on, nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because it was that dark. So I had to go see it again. It looked better the second time. The movie was still kind of okay.
Right.
It wasn't a great movie, but it was sort of fun. Should have done better, but that did. You know why? Because I think the kids that they're targeting it to had no recollection of Fright Night.
I'm guessing Fright Night came out in 87 or 88.
That's about right, yeah.
Because I remember Fright Night 2 coming out. I was working. I was an usher at the movie theater when Fright Night 2 came out.
So that was the early 90s. But the first Fright Night, probably 87, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look it up. I don't care.
There you go.
I don't need to be accurate.
Joel, not looking anything up today.
Nope.
All right.
I got lots of stuff saved on my computer already to show you.
No.
For later. So we'll just get into that. Anyway. Yeah. So the movies have not been great.
So enough with this 3D. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's not. Okay. Here's the problem with the 3D.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that the 3D is bad technology or anything. It's just that they're implementing it poorly. People are having experiences that aren't worth what they're charging for to see it.
Absolutely.
So it's not that it's bad in and of itself. It's that it's been implemented poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want it as people don't want that experience if it's not good.
I think generally most people, and this is probably why 3D TVs have not taken off the way that the industry would hope them to.
Yeah.
One, people don't want to sit those stupid glasses on. Okay. They just really don't. Even in the movie theater, they don't want to put the stupid glasses on. I went to a Cars 2 screening, which was also 3D. Try to keep those glasses on kids.
Yeah, kids are not.
Right? Kids got to sit there and watch a 3D movie. They're taking the glasses off and running around. People don't want to sit with glasses on because we all know glasses are for squares.
Okay.
Four eyes. No, I'm just kidding. And
well, the problem is that it's not implemented well even at home because you can't really get 3D movies unless you go out and actually purchase a Blu-ray movie.
Right.
I mean, there are ways to like rent things on Vudu, and there are cable channels.
But it's hard to stream a 3D movie.
Yeah, there's no real way to see. You can't go to Blockbuster or to Netflix and rent 3D.
Mm-hmm.
The geniuses in Hollywood decided that 3D, that in order to maximize the money coming from it, that it had to be a purchase only thing,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you can only purchase a 3D movie on Blu-ray.
Right.
You cannot rent it. Now, I say that in that there is a company that will rent you a Blu-ray 3D movie, but it's like one little company in California, and it's not convenient at all. It's like some guy doing it out of his house, it seems like. So you pretty much have to go to Best Buy, and it's about, you know, they charge you. If you want the 3D Blu-ray, generally it comes with a regular Blu-ray of the movie and a DVD and a download. And so, I mean, they charge you about $49 for a Blu-ray movie that...
Do you really need 14
you don't.
Different copies of Pirates of the Caribbean.
But they pack them all together as some sort of convenience.
Right, exactly.
And then they want to just charge you more money. So basically, they're shooting themselves in the foot with this in that they make it hard to see the movies as far as the home stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they do implement it, they implement it on dumb movies. They convert them where it doesn't look good. They just stick it on every movie now.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Thankfully, the new Batman is not going to be 3D.
Well, and that's a smart decision. Because Christopher Nolan, and that movie, they know that movie's going to make $1 billion anyway.
Right.
So I don't think they feel, but I feel with like Conan where they go like, oh, geez, this could be a flop. Let's make it 3D. That'll make people come out.
And it was a flop. Nothing went right with it.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, thanks. You know, that they they added that on as a reason to go, which might have worked for something like Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
But that was Alice in Wonderland, and that was a year and a half ago. And in Hollywood terms, that was, you know, that was 33
years. Here's how long
ago
it was. I watched Alice in Wonderland was one of the options on the plane to Germany.
Yeah, well, so. But it was also, you know, 33D movies ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're at that point, it's like people have seen it. People
there's
know what it is.
One, there's 3D fatigue.
Yeah.
The 3D only really works well, I think, in animation. I think that's the best application of it.
I think you can do it well, but you have to either shoot. You have to shoot in 3D if you want it to look good.
Right.
Which nobody, people seem unwilling to shoot in 3D.
Right. Aside from Avatar, well, it's more expensive. The same reason you don't want to.
Yeah.
IMAX is hard to shoot in because you got to shoot on this giant film. That's
right.
Expensive because
how was Transformers? Now they shot that
in
3D.
I am living a Transformers free life. And,
Transformers.
I declared Michael Bay off limits. Look, I had this.
Did
rule.
You not? You didn't go.
No.
Because I almost am a nerd enough for 3D to have went like, I need to go to that, and I didn't.
Well, you know, I understand it's my role as a film critic to review every kind of movie and every kind of genre. Thus, I saw Fright Night and the Glee concert movie. But there are certain directors I have just decided I am done with, and Lars von Trier leads that
list. Done with him?
Done with him. Michael Bay.
Really? Kirsten Dunst naked and you don't
That's
care?
Tempting.
It's tempting to go.
I gotta tell you. If I was going to break the Lars von Trier, holdout,
sure.
The naked Kiki Dunst might do it. But you know what? That's why the good Lord invented Mr. Skin.
It's true. Yeah.
And the interweb. I can find that stuff later on. I don't have to sit through that whole fresh slug in a movie.
All right.
Gus Van Sant might be getting himself on that list soon after I saw his recent his
Gus
newest
Van
movie.
Zandt.
Yeah.
What is his latest movie?
His new movie. If I told you what the movie was about, you'd want to walk over and punch me in the face.
I probably will.
Here's the movie. It's Dennis Hopper's son, Henry Hopper, as a troubled teen whose parents were killed in a car crash, and now he spends his days visiting funerals that he doesn't know the people at.
Yeah, that's
he just jumps from funeral to funeral.
What else is Gus Van
Like Harold and Maude.
What else is Gus Van
Sant? Gus Van Sant's made a lot of, going back years and years. My Own Private Idaho.
Okay, but I'm talking about, I know he did...
Elephant? Did you see Elephant?
I did. I liked Elephant.
The Columbine
Elephant
movie?
Was a good movie.
He's very aggravating, though. He's very...
Sure.
He can be great, and he can
Well,
be
he
going.
Made the Good Will Hunting, and then was kind of mainstream, and then kind of went back to not being
He
mainstream.
Waffles between mainstream and not.
Oh, you know...
But, yeah, so the guy... Oh, and I didn't even get to the point. He goes and hangs out at funerals, and his best friend is the ghost of a Zero pilot from World War II.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
You know, that he plays Battleship with this Japanese ghost. And then he falls in love with Mia Wasikowska, who's got a brain tumor. If I told you, if I read you that description.
Yeah. They got to stop making these movies so predictable. You know, they just got to stop making.
I know.
It's paint by numbers, these movies.
I wasn't expecting it to be 3D either. That was really that the wild was thing about it.
Aren't you about done with Steven Soderbergh? Isn't that about enough of him?
Steven Soderbergh can be aggravating, but he's got enough of a track record. Look, I'm not done with the Coen brothers. They continue to turn
But
out.
They make, but it seems like Steven...
Woody was this close. By the way, there's a surprise summary.
Sure,
hit.
Yeah.
Woody Allen's fucking movie is still playing.
But
Midnight in Paris.
Didn't it make most of its movie money overseas, though? I mean, it was...
No, it was his biggest domestic
But
hit.
I never saw that anywhere, and I went to the movies, and it wasn't even an option.
It's still playing, and you know what?
Well,
you know where
I'll
it's playing?
It.
It's playing in, like, the Angelica. You know, it's playing...
Okay,
in,
yeah.
It's playing in New York and L.A. Right. in the you know, you can go see it in the art houses.
Huh.
Probably Chicago. It was here, I think, was at the Maple. And old Alta Cockers go out there and watch it.
Yeah, well, I almost in that... I used to go to Woody Allen movies. I used to hunt down... I used to sit in the Birmingham 8 in the theater with 30 seats and go watch that crap.
Let me tell you, after a decade of seeing every Woody movie, I mean, I've seen every Woody. I can't, maybe one or two. I don't think I've ever seen September, but there's maybe one or two Woody movies I've never seen.
Sure. We went through this, I think, privately, didn't we? Or did we do it on the show? I can't remember.
It could be. Who cares? If you're listening, it's your fault. Let's be honest.
Right.
Look, I've seen every Woody Allen movie. So
okay.
And he's made more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because he makes one every damn year.
He's basically made a movie a year since the mid-60s.
Yeah. So 40 years of Woody Allen movies. Enough.
Yeah.
But apparently, this one was a big hit.
Okay.
Midnight in Paris, huge hit. Everybody loved it.
Okay.
Goes to show... I think people want actual stories in movies. I know it's a film critic. That's what we always lobby for and we always argue. And they're like, and then I don't like the Planet of the Apes, and people go, people go, you're just some elite snobby film critic.
I like the Planet of the Apes. That was the most recent movie I actually went to.
It was pretty
and
successful.
And spent my hard-earned dollars on it, and people generally liked it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good genre picture.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have a problem with it, but, you know, you didn't like it.
Well, it made $133 million as of last week. So.
But what are you... Why...
I didn't like it because I thought the humans were ridiculous.
They were. I thought it was retarded.
I really thought it was an effect spectacle. It was really...
Yeah, but I mean, it was...
It was like, look what we can do. We can make this monkey. And one, I didn't even really ever find the monkey that convincing. I never really found... I thought the orangutan was really good.
The orangutan was good, but they made it less human.
Yes.
They tried to put, because the orangutan didn't have that human
they gave too
genetic
much,
testing
they
done
gave
to
too
it.
Much of a human look to Caesar.
But that was the point.
I know.
You know. That's the thing.
But it didn't, I didn't buy it.
It didn't have to look like a real chimp because it was mm-hmm. becoming human. And so I get what you're saying. But I thought this was sort of a modern day Jurassic Park in a sense.
Well,
I liked it in that way, and I liked Jurassic Park,
I said in my review, if you want to just watch shit get ripped up, enjoy it, and people were mad at me like I'm going to snob. But
it adds some science fiction. I mean, I thought the science fiction elements,
That, sir, is where you're wrong.
No, but I thought it did have that Rod Serling sort of
effect to me.
I thought.
Not strongly enough.
Well.
Okay, what's the message of that film? Hey, don't make monkeys smarter.
Well, that's part of it. I mean,
it's the most trite, overused, old chestnut of a sci-fi premise.
That's fine, but it's
the premise
was.
Is, it goes back to Frankenstein. It's don't tamper with things.
Exactly, but
that's boring.
It's boring to do that.
No, the original. Watch that original Planet of the Apes movie.
Because it's when giant robots come down to Earth, that you know, I mean, that talk.
When they come back
and have children as friends.
When they come back and attack cowboys.
I was referring to Transformers, but I'm saying
you
like,
leave
you know,
Johnny Sacco and his flying robot.
I'm saying that, you know, I mean, okay, it's a classic science fiction premise.
No, it is. I just didn't think that there was it's just an action movie. It didn't have another element.
But it was done well. And so much of the stuff, even when it is original, is done poorly. So I thought that
I know, I'm impossible to please, Joel.
You are.
I'm a real
I can't believe
now,
it.
Now, on one hand, Conan was not good, but I didn't get angry at it the way some people did because I knew it was a Conan movie.
Right.
It's a goddamned barbarian movie, right? You got to have maybe this is the case, maybe I'm guilty of this.
Sure.
But I think because I love the first Planet of the Apes movie and I even like the sequels.
The argument you could make is that this Planet of the Apes is not the canon with the Planet of the Apes that came out, the original Planet of the Apes. And that there's really no way to, even though they do sort of try
to... There's no
to,
way to connect them. It's a reboot of the franchise.
It's a reboot, and...
But,
see, and
to me, the original Planet of the Apes was a satire piece.
Okay.
It's a it's a sci-fi movie. It's a big, fun, epic sci-fi movie, but it's got actual political and social commentary.
Right, well, it was about black people.
It's a racial allegory.
Yeah, it's a racial allegory.
It's also about war and violence, you know, and destruction and nuclear disarmament and politics and religion. All that stuff is in a monkey movie. It's a movie where Roddy McDowell's wearing a goddamn rubber mask, but it's deeper than this thing, which had James Franco looking off into the distance.
I mean,
Franco's an amazing actor because he can be incredible and then just be totally shitty.
He really looks like he's just picking up the check in this.
He really did.
Although I don't know the way it was written, who would have been
They were all, the humans were
convincing
all worthless.
Yeah, they
I mean,
were pretty bad.
Frida Pinto showed up to go, remember me, I'm that pretty girl from Slumdog Millionaire.
Somebody said that she's in it so it'll gross more in India.
That's a good point.
And John Lithgow is a parody of John Lithgow, basically.
Right. So I hated all of human. You know, and in some movies, maybe that's the point. You hate all of the humans, so you root for the monkeys to rip their faces off. But it went PG. It went PG-13 in that the monkeys tear shit up, but you don't really see. Look, when a herd of chimpanzees runs through San Francisco, people ought to get fucked right up. And instead, it was kind of
I noticed that while I was watching it, and then later I read
they were using restraint.
That the monkeys, because that Caesar actually liked people and didn't want to kill them, he just wanted to be free of their cages. So I know.
Okay. But I saw
Planet of the... This was a good movie. It wasn't a true remake. I thought it was done very well. I think if you do this poorly, it's terrible.
Did you?
And I thought they did it well. But something like Conan, I mean, it's like, did people even Do people even know the first Conan? Like, I know people say, like, everyone knows Schwarzenegger was Conan the Barbarian, but how many people really know
that movie and
have an affinity for that movie?
I don't think as many people have a reverence for that movie as once. By the way, the first Conan is outstanding.
It is.
It's fun,
but
it's stupid.
Okay.
But it's everything you
want
out of
a
Barbarian
here.
Movie.
Put Schwarzenegger in Conan today,
sure,
and it's not a hit. That's my prediction.
Well, you know why it's not a hit? You know who wrote the original Conan?
John Milius.
John Milius, who was not the greatest talent, but was like Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas' drinking buddy.
He was good in
He was at least adjacent to talent.
Yeah.
You know, I think you had a better script, much like with Planet of the Apes. Rod Serling wrote it, and you had a better script. You had better source material. Now what happens is every single screenplay that comes through Hollywood, with the rare exception of the superstar, there's like three or four superstar writers, okay? Not even Joe Esterhaus at this point, who talked himself and drank himself out of Hollywood.
Right.
But you got like Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
You know, you've got like a handful. The Coens, nobody touches their scripts.
Sure. You've.
There's very few people who can write a script and not have it meddled with.
Yeah.
And particularly when it's a franchise like this. This Planet of the Apes reeked of multiple redrafts, of rewrites, of 14 different guys. What you get is you get it. You know what every Hollywood action movie is now? It's the graham cracker that the guys in the army jerk off on in the desert. It's a million.
Oh, wow.
It's a million voices, and they're all pulling in different directions. So you get these muddled scripts.
Well, Conan, my point is that Conan, nobody really has a reverence for that film. You do, but it's not a lot of people. So if you got every hardcore, I mean, this movie, every Conan fan could have went to this, and it still would have been a flop.
And by the way, the reverence that I have for Conan, in quotation marks, isn't the same as, like, Star Trek or something. You know what I mean?
No, but there's people
I have stronger passions.
But there's people that think that these old franchises actually are going to be hits because people love them. Like, A-Team. Ask people before this A-Team movie, would you go see an A-Team movie? Everyone would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the A-Team movie comes out and people didn't really like it. It's not something that people really like. People say they like it. They pay lip service to it. But people that actually, when it comes to shelling out your money and going to see it, most people don't have a reverence for something like Conan.
Well, you're right. It's two things. One, you're right. It's an inflated sense of nostalgia.
Yeah.
In that someone, you go, wow, did I really love Hogan's Heroes. And then when you watch a Hogan's Heroes episode now, you go, this is crap. How did anyone ever watch this? Right? So it's an inflated sense. It's a feeling of nostalgia, and that ruins so many things. Or, in the case of, like, the A-Team, people just liked Mr. T.
Sure.
He had a charisma, and that was fun to watch. And the other, Dirk Benedict and George Papard.
And I thought the A-Team was
I liked the movie, actually.
It was
actually.
A solid movie.
It was okay,
but I'm saying, you know, people didn't go to see. They could have called that something else, and it
what's the problem is, it's a twofold mistake. They overestimate what people really liked about it, or they're selling the wrapper and not selling the candy bar that was in the wrapper. People liked Conan because they liked Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was incredibly big and bulky and fun to look at, and silly.
And he swung a sword around and killed. Slice some guys' heads off, and there was blood, but it was, you know.
And you know, it's just that whole camp thing of that stupid, thick Austrian accent, and he sounded like a barbarian. And this new guy looked like a surfer dude or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's in, see Game of Thrones.
I didn't see Game
of
Thrones.
But he does almost the exact same fucking thing in Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And it was probably done, I didn't see the Conan movie, but I'm guessing it was done better in Game of Thrones, because I'm sure the source material is better. And people like that.
If Conan was on cable, you might watch it for 10 minutes.
Right.
But it basically played like a video game cutscene.
Well, didn't they make like The Rock, what was the Scorpion King in that? Were basically Conan movies.
Yeah, that was
with
kind
Rock
of a Conan
and
movie. Yeah.
They kind of people like Rock, and so
it
went and made whatever it made.
You know what? They would have been better off doing Rock as Conan.
Well, Rock probably didn't want to do it.
Right. Yeah, that's good. He's smart. Dwayne Johnson. Anyway.
All right, let's move on.
So Hollywood movies sucked this summer, and
let's move off.
Hopefully
Hollywood
fall season will bring.
Did you go ahead.
I've seen a couple things ahead of schedule.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into those later.
Did you see, because I know I talked about it a lot. I think I talked about it on the show. Did you see 30 Minutes or Less?
I never did see.
Okay, because I know it also underperformed, but was very good. So,
you know, I've heard a lot of up in the air mixed stuff about that.
Really, I thought it was funny. So,
I will tell you, we'll get into it when it's closer to release, because it didn't come out until October.
What's that?
But a movie that I think you and I both saw and both loved, 50-50.
I didn't see 50-50.
Oh, you haven't seen 50-50. I thought you did.
I had tickets to go, and I was sick.
Okay.
And I didn't go to 50-50 because I was sick, but I was planning on going.
Well, that's one to beat.
It was the day I came home from the gathering, and I was sick. Let's just get into the gathering, because that it sort of ties in. I was sick.
Yeah, I've been sitting watching shitty movies. Joel went off to Cave in Rock, Illinois, which is apparently somewhere between Indiana and the Gates of Hell.
Well, it's sort of Indiana, Kentucky, and Illinois all sort of come together.
Into a glorious hillbilly clusterfuck.
It's like a little anus where the three of them come together. And that's Cave in Rock, Illinois. And that's where the gathering's held every year for the last 5 years.
You see this hernia on the end of my ass? That's Cave in Rock, Illinois, everybody.
So the gathering went down this year. And it's funny, there's so much press now that, you know, there's almost no story to tell that's not already been reported.
I saw more coverage on the gathering this year.
It was ridiculous.
There were it wasn't even that there was a lot of, like, it didn't, like, break the nightly news.
No.
But there were a lot of, there were probably four or five articles by people that infiltrated the gathering.
Yeah, that's the angle that people bring to the gathering now.
It was a lot of,
hey, we're going to.
It was like feminist theory about the gathering,
right,
by some girl who writes on Jezebel. Where she's like, I went to the gathering, and people asked me to show my tits. And that's like, that was a lot of that story going on.
The big thing now is that...
oh, that's incredibly stupid.
Well, I'm just trying to get... Yeah, I'm trying to find a picture of me that this... Well, there was an artist...
This guy had a Faygo tattoo on his head.
Yeah, let me just go to this. Let me keep talking while I go to this other site. There was an article that came out last year by the Village Voice that was sort of became sort of the definitive article. And now everybody kind
He's
of wants
to copy it.
That. Yeah, and it was written by this girl, Camille, who was really cool, who I hung out with a lot last year. And this guy, Igor, who is the photographer. And he ended up taking all the Tila Tequila pictures. He was the only, like, press photographer that was up at 5 a.m. while that was going on.
Right.
So he sold all the pictures to TMZ, and he wrote some stuff. I forget the website. I think he wrote for, what's the Onion? The AV Club, I think he wrote for.
But there was like Slate and maybe Salon.
Well, that's the thing.
A bunch of people had articles.
Because of this, the guy, you know, they sort of started this thing, and then everybody wanted to come.
Did Huffington Post have one or something? I mean,
a lot of people sent out reporters.
Yeah.
But these original reporters.
Well, that's a different website altogether.
Yeah, I know.
I'm familiar with that.
That's
website.
Actually, this is, do you know this website? No, that's Nate and Camille here, actually, right there. That's Camille. And that's Nate. This is drivenbyboredom.com. This is Igor's...
It's an alt, like, hipster girl porn website. It's like
no, but he photographs, like, club nights and stuff. And
yeah, so it's a lot of models.
He does
stuff,
a lot of, like, that. But here's a great picture of me that he took. Do you see that of me? That's pretty good. I'm going to put that on. I'll put that on.
What's great is what's right over your head.
Yeah, there's fireworks going off.
Yeah.
Well, because that was the finale of ICP.
No, I mean in the shot above you.
Oh yeah, there's a girl's vagina. There's a girl in a bikini.
It's like a film strip of pictures on this website.
Yeah, and the one
directly above Joel is like a girl being held with her legs spread open.
Yeah, but he thought that was a great picture because I was screaming and fireworks are going off.
Well, sure.
So that was after Faygo Armageddon. I'm all wet, and I told those two. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, you guys have certainly helped the, you know, you guys do Faygo Armageddon because you're kind of part of the thing now." You wrote these great articles. If you check out the article from last year,
I can imagine. But what pray tell is Faygo Armageddon?
It's at the end of the show when everyone throws Faygo with ICP at the end of ICP set.
Now,
and if you look that up, you can. So basically, we throw out thousands of bottles of Faygo and get each other.
Just in case, we got to go over this one more time. The Faygo Bottling Company is a Detroit institution that was started in Prohibition when the beer distributor couldn't. They couldn't produce beer, so they started making root beer ginger ale.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
But no one cares about
it. I know, but it's Detroit. What it is, Faygo is it a local Detroit, Michigan? I think you can get in other parts of Michigan, but it's basically Michigan and Northern Ohio brand of sodas. And that's like the Juggalo beverage. It's the fruit of the gods.
Okay.
Spread it all over each other.
All right. So anyway, so what happened this year? I don't know what the big highlight is. There was so much stuff written up. I mean, the crowd was certain. There was no crazy shit throwing thing like Tila Tequila.
What was the turnout? Was it better?
It was about the same as last year.
It's a really hard to gather. It's really
I don't know. I mean, people
hard
that
to get a number, right?
People that know the number didn't tell me the number. based on who was just looking around. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago was the 10th gathering, and people went crazy because it was going to be the 10th one.
Is this a deal where, is it like where and kids then, get in? I mean, do they...
What are you talking about? I mean, do they sneak in?
Yeah.
Not in large numbers. It's possible, but it's not a... Yeah. It's not like Woodstock where everyone jumps the fence. It's... Mm-hmm. It's on such a... There's one little road that
it's so hard to get to it.
It's kind of hard to get to. Like, the best way to get in would be to get a boat, go down the Ohio River, find out where the gathering site is, and then find a way to, like, get a rope and climb up 50 feet off the banks of the Ohio River to get in. So it's like, it would take a lot of work.
It's a commando operation.
It really would be. So, but anyway, a lot of people were a lot of the stuff was Charlie Sheen was there. So that was a big to-do. They had him be the main stage host Saturday night. Which basically, he would come up and introduce the bands.
Yeah.
So Saturday night rolls around and, like, Charlie's not there. Like, we had a storm Saturday afternoon. They say his plane is delayed. So they go to me. They go, hey, Upchuck, we want my Upchuck the Clown, my guys that I do the gathering in. So for anyone who doesn't know that. They said, we want you to host the main stage because Charlie Sheen's not here. So I'm going, well, this seems like a shitty gig. Because people are expecting to see Charlie Sheen and they're going to see me. And, but I go up and, this first band is called Potluck. They're a couple rappers from California. They rap about weed.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
It's coincidental Potluck? That their name is Potluck. It has
okay.
nothing to do
sure.
with me.
Couldn't have anything to do with their love of the ganj.
So I go up and, I introduce Potluck and,
Are you insinuating to me?
Yeah.
Are they on the label?
No, I think they're on Suburban Noise Records, which is, Cottonmouth King's label, but I could be.
Well, wait a second.
I know
they're on a label of a band called right. the Cottonmouth Kings.
Yeah, I think
now these are clearly guys that are fans of snakes, and they enjoy
Kings.
The Cottonmouth.
No, I think
snakes.
That their name has something to do with marijuana.
No,
I don't know. There's
get out of here.
They're somehow.
The deuce, you say?
It's all very subliminal. Their stuff,
sure.
but I believe it has something to do with weed. If you look deeper,
it's very.
But anyway, so as I introduce
look
Potluck.
Between the lines, kids. Wink, wink, wink.
So I go out, I get kids hyped up for Potluck, and it goes pretty well. I say, all right, you know, Charlie Sheen was delayed. So I said, okay, I'll bring up Potluck. No problem. And then they're going, look, we don't know when Charlie's going to get here. Just do it until Charlie's here.
I can't believe Charlie Sheen wasn't
so,
punctual.
So all right, so who's up next? I look on the list. Vanilla Ice, who we just signed to Psychopathic Records, by the way. So
oh, well.
Vanilla Ice, so.
Really?
So I have to go. I talk to Vanilla Ice. I get his intro. I go out, introduce Vanilla Ice. He's apparently in a new Adam Sandler.
Is he still doing like metal or what is his?
He has a drummer and a DJ, so he doesn't. I wouldn't say it's.
He was kind of like a metal band.
Yeah, I would say he's more doing rap, but okay. He has a live drums and that. And so some of the stuff he does is sort of interpretive of what, you know, he did before. But a lot of it is this, you know, when he does.
Did you interact with Rob Van Winkle?
I did. I got to hang out with him, and he's a super cool guy.
Really?
And he is in this new Adam Sandler movie where he got to jump off the Green Monster at Fenway Park, which I thought was interesting. He showed me all the pictures on his phone. Yeah, I took Ice out to get something to eat and stuff in the golf cart. So I got to hang out with Vanilla Ice and his manager and his drummer and all those, and very cool people and super nice guy. And but apparently he liked my intro for him, so that was good.
I got
everyone hyped up for Vanilla Ice.
You know what? We might want to call TMZ on this.
For what?
This may be the first time someone said Vanilla Ice is a super nice guy.
He was a super nice guy.
I think those words have ever been said.
Listen, he was very humble. He was not. Whenever kids wanted a picture of him, he was cool with them. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very cool to me, and very gracious to me, and said he liked my intro, and that when I took him out to get some food, he was very cool, and I think his manager bought me a soft pretzel,
wow,
a big pretzel. So
Joel, now truthfully,
I really liked Vanilla Ice.
All right,
was
before you had met him though, truthfully. Sure. Had you heard a good word about Vanilla
No,
Ice?
Actually, I did. I knew that the Juggalos liked him a lot.
Oh, well.
And I had met him once for a second, like about 5 or 6 years
clearly
ago.
Clearly superlative judgment.
No, I don't know the guy. I mean, I've never had I don't know anything about him.
It's like Pauly Shore. I've never heard one good word about him.
Okay, but I met Pauly Shore, and Pauly Shore was kind of a dick. But Vanilla Ice was very cool. I mean, I got nothing.
This is mind-blowing.
I got nothing bad to say about Vanilla Ice. I thought he was a good guy. Yeah. He's working on new music with Mikey Clark. who is ICP's producer and a really great music producer. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to hearing what they're going to do together. So
how are you deep down?
I like Vanilla Ice. Listen, he was a good guy.
You are so deep down the rabbit hole.
You met every homo closeted actor in Hollywood, and you've liked a lot of them. And I've tried to get you to talk shit about them, and you say they're
Vince
all good
Vaughn,
guys.
Huge asshole. I said that.
I'm not going to not call people an asshole.
Yeah.
I got plenty of assholery.
I'm just saying. I've never heard. This is interesting to me because I've never.
But how many people do you know that have met Vanilla Ice personally? Do you know anyone that's actually personal friends with that's actually met Vanilla Ice?
Probably a couple, but I can't. You know, I mean, okay. I do know a lot of people in the music business.
Okay,
and stuff, but
all right, but
I don't know offhand. But you know what I'm saying? I've just over years of reading about him in the media.
He runs in sort of the underground rap circles now. And you know, so I think when he was mainstream, I think he hated a lot of the coverage he got there. Mm-hmm. And I think he likes that the underground is accepting of him. And right. So he might be a little more mellow.
He must have hated than he is now.
Must have hated it so much.
He went on Surreal Life.
He did go on Surreal Life and stuff, and I don't really remember what he was like on there. But
he was a total.
I got a vibe. This is the vibe I got from Vanilla Ice, and I don't know.
Humbled.
It's not really based. It seems to me like he's got a shitload of money from whatever he made. I mean, look, he was number one for however long that was.
I think it was from the Teenage Ninja Turtles movie, right?
I think he got about $30 million to star in Cool as Ice. But here's the point. Right. He just seemed like a guy who was fine.
Take that to the bank. You need that money.
Pauly Shore, if you want to compare him to Pauly Shore sort of was like, you know, hey, don't let kids talk to me. I don't really want to be bothered with it. And Vanilla Ice was very cool and did his thing and did a nice job. So
you know, some you're right. That's funny, though. It's some guys, and I don't know about anybody's finances personally, but you know how some guys like are a big hit and that's all you ever need. You don't, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They were a big hit for a couple years, but they seemed to put the money away.
I don't know. Yeah, Vanilla Ice, I'm guessing, kind of saved his money.
Pauly Shore was a megastar for about 4 years.
Yeah, he made enough of those movies. If he made whatever he made on those movies,
right.
Let's say he made $5 million a movie, he should be okay.
You would think. But
you know,
I would certainly feel, if I made $5 million ever, that I would be
just
good.
Just one shot at $5 million.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd be
tired.
I would feel.
They'd put you in one movie, it'd be a hit, and you'd go, that's it, I'm done.
No, I'm just thinking I could invest.
Put a sock it away.
I could buy properties and flip them. I would think I would be able to make money off that.
Well, Vanilla Ice, I think, does that, though. He does. He restores houses. He has a show.
Just saying, some guys are good with it, and some guys, the money goes. Like, a lot of athletes.
Well, we'll get to that.
A lot of athletes.
I got another
but
story.
Pauly, it seems like he's perpetually sort of in the tank. He's just a low low rent
chiseler.
Well,
I think traditionally The Gathering has been a lot of places where guys can go and collect a check.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Charlie Sheen was a little bit of that this year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, and let me just go on a story. So Vanilla Ice does his thing, and I'm hanging around because Charlie's still not there. So I know who I have to introduce next. And it's George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic.
Well, there you go.
And I go, wow, this should be a trip because who knows what that's going to be like. So a big tour bus pulls up, and
kind of incredible they're not the headliners.
Well,
by the way.
they're on before Blaze Your Dead Homie.
Oh,
you have to remember, Corey, you're at The Gathering and Blaze is Psychopathic Records, so you can't, you know.
Okay, right. Keep going.
So anyway, so this tour bus pulls up, and I want to say 24 black guys pour out, almost all of them eating giant turkey legs.
Sure.
And this is the guys who make up the band Parliament.
I know the turkey leg was a big hit.
Yeah, I guess they had stopped and gotten them at the thing. So imagine all these old, you know, musicians pouring out eating turkey legs. And I didn't see George at all, but his entourage sort of got out. And his daughter's name is Barbarella. And I think she's kind of, I don't know if she's the manager or what she does. And I was hanging out with Clip, who was one of the vocalists. Very cool people. And Clip is originally from Detroit and had all these Detroit stories. And these guys just, you know, would openly, like, light up a joint and not even think about it. So they're very mellow crew, if you can imagine, the Parliament Funkadelic guys. And they were very cool. And then I got to drive George Clinton on my golf cart because it was kind of muddy backstage. So I got to pick up George in his trailer, put him in my golf cart, and pulled up with him. So then George, you know, George was about 70. And I don't know, you know, George didn't say much. But it was kind of cool to just have, you know, to have George Clinton and be taking care of him.
Sure.
So that was very cool. And they did a great show, and they did all their hits. And I don't know who's in. Like, there's I remember you were asking me, like, we talked on the phone, like, is the guy with the diaper still with him, but I think he died.
Really?
Yeah, he died, I think. Because there's a lot of the original Parliament Funkadelic guys are either dead or don't work.
They're about clean living. that Funkadelic.
Well, they're old guys, but you know, the original like Parliament Funkadelic guys like Bernie Worrell, who was the keyboardist, and what's the name of the bass player, the famous
Bootsy
Collins isn't with him anymore. But he has really good musicians with him. You know, there's a girl on roller skates with butterfly wings for no reason.
Well, sure.
There's a giant alien smoking a joint with like a big rubber head. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what that's all about.
What if we had a crossover between them and Gwar?
You know, we've had Gwar at the gathering in the past. I didn't get to hang out with them, but the Parliament Funkadelic guys were super cool. And George was really nice. And, you know, so that was cool. So I introduced Parliament Funkadelic. That was, that's a pretty...
Who...
That's a big honor.
Who's ever listened to a Gwar album in their car?
Gwar, I watched about 5 minutes of Gwar and I thought it was complete shit. I thought it was garbage. Like, I never want to watch it. It's stupid.
I could kind of get, I've seen them. I can kind of get the appeal of seeing the live show.
Right, because it's a theatrical thing.
But would you ever want to buy a Gwar album and listen to it? I couldn't imagine that.
We know a guy who's a big Gwar fan. Like a massive follows them around Gwar fan.
What?
We both know him.
Do we?
Yeah.
I wish
we're not fans of this guy at the moment.
Oh, okay, fine.
But you know who I'm talking about.
That could be a number of people.
I'm not Public Enemy number one.
Well, okay, fine.
But he's a big Gwar fan, and
is he really?
He's a bit of a mental case too. So
how
that makes sense?
That tidbit eluded me.
Yeah,
but I didn't. You know.
But anyway, so Parliament Funkadelic did great. You know, it was cool hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. And again, the kids didn't really seem to miss Charlie Sheen all that much. So
really?
Yeah.
Shocker.
So at this point, the show's going good. Mm-hmm. I've introduced three of the six main acts. Then next
Were they
thing,
not
you know,
big fans of Wall Street? I mean, all those...
Well, finally Charlie...
Aren't the kids at the gathering, weren't they born after Charlie was a movie star?
They might have been born around the time of Hot Shots. Like, yeah, they might have
honestly,
been...
Charlie was a respected movie star... Before they were born.
Well, Platoon came out in, what, 86, 87, something like that?
Yeah, something about 87, yeah.
So,
like, Charlie Sheen at one point in the late 80s was considered a high-quality, high-caliber. Platoon looked more and more like a... Like, that's a great performance.
Yeah.
And it's a great movie. And it's my theory that, given the right director, you can get a good performance out of anybody.
Right.
If Robert Altman was still around, I bet he could make something with Rob Schneider. You know what I'm saying? There's one great performance.
Well, he used Charlie in Platoon and Wall Street.
Yeah.
And what else did he do? The Navy SEALs. But at some point
he went right.
Yeah.
He did a
Major
couple.
League.
He did a couple. This is before Oliver Stone was like a big joke.
Yeah.
Because now Oliver Stone is a mess. But at the time he was one of the top directors in the world.
Yeah.
And Charlie was in two of his biggest iconic hits.
Yeah.
And was considered a powerhouse actor.
Right.
And then he went right into Hot Shots Part 2. Anyway.
Well, there was Hot Shots 1, which nobody remembers. But
I liked Hot Shots.
Okay.
Valeria Galeno.
Everybody. Okay.
Give it up for her.
Well, I don't know who that is.
That's the,
I'm sure she was.
It's the lead chick in there.
So Charlie finally shows up, and I realize my hosting duties are basically over at this point, which is fine, but I figure I'll hang around.
We got to intro Charlie.
Well, Charlie just kind of.
Did you intro Charlie?
No, here's what happened. The day before, Leah, I was also hosting. The thing is, I had multiple duties in the evening because I was also hosting the pay-per-view on Psychopathic Live, which meant I would go into the crowd and, like, talk to the Juggalos between bands. Like, in the muddy field, I'd go out there and talk to Juggalos and stuff. And, you know, it's about as much fun as it sounds from for you, I think. You know, because sometimes the Juggalos were just idiots.
I'm going to be honest with you. None of this has sounded fun.
Come on, I got to hang out with Parliament Funkadelic. It was terrific. So anyway, I got to, so I'm sort of doing two jobs. So I said, well, I got my main job of hosting this pay-per-view, I'll go back and do it. So while I was doing that on the Friday night, they had asked Leah, who was my co-host, who was the psychopathic webmaster, they had asked her to, like, write some stuff for Charlie to say when he gets up there. She's like, Charlie doesn't know what he's doing, write some stuff. So she wrote some stuff, and I go, can I kind of punch it up with some jokes? So I started writing some Charlie Sheen jokes for him to tell. That were, like, Juggalo-related. Like, here's just an example. This is not a great joke in the context of the show, or it's not going to make you laugh in any way.
Okay. I think you told me this already.
I probably did, but just for the sake of the show.
I'm going to sell it.
Play along.
Hold on.
You're going to not laugh again.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it. No, I'm going to take a bump.
I said, this is what he should, I wrote this, and we wrote this in the script. Said, I was on a show called Two and a Half Men that I'm not on anymore, but I have a new show that's coming out, and it's called Two and a Half Juggalos.
Wow, that's good.
But I think in the context, I think that would have gotten a good reaction. Remember, you're on stage in front of thousands of people, and it probably would have gotten a good reaction. And there were some other jokes that we wrote for him. And Charlie got
is
up there.
Even, is it even a joke or a cheap pop?
It's a cheap pop, but that's what I was writing. I mean, you have to remember where we're at and what we're writing for. You know what I mean? This wasn't for an HBO comedy special. This was for the cheap pop. So, but of course, Charlie goes out there and does none of that.
The Juggalo's well-known comedy.
And he largely gets shit thrown at him. I mean, he didn't get too much shit thrown at him. They popped big for him when he came out. But then he had to come out again and introduce the band after Blaze, which was Tech N9ne.
Yeah.
And he got a little more shit thrown at him. And then for the final act of the night, which was Twisted, they said, "Hey, Upchuck, we need you to go up there and talk about, because we're running late, that the wrestling event is going to be late. And then, you know, Charlie's going to come out and introduce Twisted." So I said, "All right." Mm-hmm. So finally, I'm on stage with Charlie now. We're waiting in the wings. I hadn't talked to him. And, you know, like I said, his previous things, when he kind of went out there and phoned it in, the people weren't that into it, you know, and he was getting some shit thrown. It was getting progressively worse.
I'll tell you what, I will say this, which is bizarre, because they follow a band, which is the worst rap act of all time, but the Juggalos do have a bullshit detector.
Well, they do, yeah. And they
don't. It doesn't apply to ICP itself, right, but they have a bullshit detector.
But if you like ICP, then anything that's not true to that seems phony. Like Tila Tequila last year.
What I'm saying is, I still don't understand why they like the band, but they will call bullshit on people they don't think are authentic.
You can understand when somebody does like the band that they might not like somebody who's not into it.
Anyway, yeah, I guess.
So Charlie's there kind of basically phoning it in. And you know what they said? They liked him the first time. The second time he goes out, you know, again, with very little preparation, you know, he kind of does not as well. So then for the third time, he kind of looks at me and I go, "Look, I have to go out. I say, hey, Charlie, I'm Upchuck the Clown. I need to go out and introduce him about wrestling, and then I'll have the mic and I'll bring you out and you introduce Twisted." And he says, "Oh, that's cool." And he says, "All right." And then he didn't say anything really, but he kind of gave me this look about, like, why is this not going well? And so I said to him, I said, "You know, I wrote jokes for you." He says, "Yeah, I got them, but I didn't have time to memorize." So basically, Charlie got the stuff that me and Leah had written for him, and then he didn't.
Did he have people with him?
Yeah, he had some people with him. He didn't have a huge crew.
He didn't have a rolling circus.
No, he did have some. Apparently, the tour bus had a stripper pole in it and stuff, but I don't know if there were bitches. I saw him get out with like about two or three different guys that were his buddies, and that's what I saw. So
did you happen to hear any of the Brie Olson on Stern?
I did not.
Where she dished on the whole thing?
No, I don't know anything.
She hated the other girl that was living there.
I'm sure she did.
She thought she was a cow.
See, I don't think that, despite the picture he paid, that having two chicks living with you is that great of a situation. I think
did not seem to be domestic tranquility.
I'm thinking them and having the twin boys around and that.
This is, you know what? This is what amazes me about. Look, I'm a man. I got drives and desires.
Yeah.
But when you really break it down, and there have been times in my life where I've run multiple girls.
Sure.
Now, unbeknownst to them, I wasn't putting them in a compound in Santa Monica or Venice or wherever we Malibu.
Yeah.
But there have been times when I've dated more than one girl at the same time.
Sure.
And I'm sure every gentleman out there probably has, and I use the word gentleman loosely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of hassle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look back at it. I look back at it and I go, what was I thinking?
Well, if
I was being run ragged by multiple broads,
but
the appeal of it seems scientifically sound. Then in practice,
it would be much easier if whatever Charlie's, you know, little kingdom he had,
right,
if that actually worked and you could just have them both hang out with you at the same time. Right. But we know that doesn't work.
You know what?
Yeah, that would be a much easier situation.
You know what probably works, and it probably works a little bit, and you can probably ask the Rolling Stones about this.
What's that?
You know, if you're just, like, not officially dating it, you got kind of a lead. You got a lead chick, but she knows you're banging other guys, girls, right?
Yeah.
But when you put them together, like sister wives.
Yeah, that's not good.
The Mormons, it works for because they're faithful. Right? They're religious. And they're like,
it's God's way for you to.
It sometimes works in the weird way that they're like, this is God's will that I live with this homely broad in these shapeless, feathery flower dresses.
But isn't part of the Mormon or whoever does multiple wives, isn't it that you have that many more children because while one's pregnant,
yes,
you get to fuck the other one. Isn't that?
Well, they
sort
rotate.
Of a,
yeah, right.
Yeah, isn't that some?
It's
sort
all
of
about making
thing?
More children for
yeah,
the faith.
Yeah, so
and
I
the
think
cost.
There is.
But
some...
when you're just picking up bar skanks in you know Encinita, and you're picking up on a porn actress who just had previously, before she started dating Charlie, had won literally 2 months before the Charlie thing broke, won the filthiest whore in the world contest on yeah. the Howard Stern show.
Well,
by blowing a janitor, she was like, I would fuck a bunch of guys on the porn set and then blow the janitor just because I didn't want him to feel left
well,
out.
That did.
And then she goes, how did that not work out? Anyway,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It didn't work
I
out with
break
Charlie.
Down the Charlie.
But
thing.
It was a Charlie came up and I brought him out and I introduced him by the wrestling. Charlie comes out, does his thing. And there was on TMZ where like people threw bottles at him and he caught a couple of them where it made it look
well,
cool.
Tiger blood.
But it was, the thing was, you know, the stage was like 20 feet in the air.
Uh-huh.
So by the time you throw a bottle, it's not really
lost momentum.
It's not really moving all that fast when it gets to you. Because the stage that Tila Tequila got bottled off was much lower
on the ground.
And smaller. And it was, yeah, it was a different situation.
Joel, you got to get height.
Yeah. So Charlie did catch a couple bottles and that was cool. But, you know, he watched about two or three songs from Twisted, got back on his bus and got the fuck out of the gathering. And that was the Charlie Sheen story. So I did meet Charlie. I didn't get a picture taken with him, but I did get to host the main stage with them for a second, and that was cool.
Isn't it kind of weird when you're doing an event kind of thing with somebody?
Right.
Like, I've hosted a lot of Q&A screenings with
yeah,
people.
Sure.
And you just kind of go, oh, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like, you're nobody.
Yeah.
You're a complete unknown. Well, I mean, ICP, you're
sure.
somebody, I
yeah.
guess. But you're, like, standing next to a celebrity that you're supposedly working with.
Yeah.
And you're going, wow, I'd love to get a picture, but you can't do
yeah,
it, right?
I mean, I don't. I'm not a big guy on pictures anyway. I do have a couple celebrity pictures. I'll show you to in a second. But also, it's like you're there working. You're sort of running the event.
Same thing in comedy.
Going,
at the end,
like, hey, you know, I'm gonna, you know, yeah. It's fine. I mean,
I never got a picture with Geraldo, and
yeah.
I felt, you know what I mean.
Now so you now you want one.
So now or yeah. Stanhope or anything. Yeah. So now I got a picture.
Well,
with
let me
David
let's
Tell.
Move on to the pictures,
you know what I mean?
Then, because this one. This one is really the crown jewel of the gathering.
Is
right
that
there.
Hammer?
That's me and Hammer, and then that's Leah, who was doing all the paper
oh, okay.
stuff for me. But that's MC Hammer, which is the funny story how I met him. He was on the first night, and I think a lot of us expected Hammer would go down in flames. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we've had people like Old Dirty Bastard that's done mm-hmm. the gathering and not done well, and Too Short, and Bushwickville, and sort of these old hip-hop legends.
Really?
And a lot of them have done very poorly at the gathering.
You would think those guys could put on
well,
a show.
No. Or they didn't try
well,
hard enough or whatever it was.
ODB,
it didn't work out.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
It was probably, you know,
we had,
16
we had him
lines
about 6 months before he died. But anyway, so MC Hammer, you know, shows up and I think we
Hammer's
all,
on that God juice.
But Hammer, I'll tell you what, Hammer shows up. He's got about 20 dancers. He shows up, does his show, you know, does his first song. It's going reasonably well, right? So then for the second song, Hammer jumps in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Hammer doesn't wait for kids to throw shit at him. He goes, I'm going to just go out there and dance in the front row. So he's on the barrier for the second song.
Nice.
Then for the third song, Hammer's in the middle of the fucking field. Hammer's in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
So Hammer's going crazy, just dancing within the crowd. So even if you wanted to like do something to Hammer or you didn't like him, it's like he was right there. And if you wanted to hit him with something, you'd actually have to like, you know what I mean? And I think there was a little too much of like, well, this guy really doesn't give a shit. We're going to have to just enjoy this and respect it. And then, so he's dancing through the crowd. Then when he's ready to do Can't Touch This, he gets 200 juggalos out of the crowd and brings them all on stage to dance with him.
Sure.
So people are loving MC Hammer, and it was crazy.
Did he do Too Legit to Quit?
He did Too Legit to Quit.
Did he do This Is How We Roll?
No, I don't think he did that. He may have.
Mm.
He did whatever, Pumps with the Bump.
Bumps with the Pump.
Bumps with the Pump.
What is that song?
It's crazy. I think it's.
Let's look up the Hammer catalog.
Hold on a second. I may actually be able to do better than that.
Uh-huh.
I may.
My music hits me so hard, makes me say, "Oh
well, he
my
did
Lord.
That. He did Turn This Mother Out. He did
Turn This Mother Out.
Yeah, he did Turn This Mother Out. I think that's what he ended with.
Isn't that a George Clinton track?
It is, but he does a cover of it.
Wow.
I mean, he does a rap song based on a sample of it.
Sure.
So I don't know where is this going to be. Name. Yeah, see, I don't have it. I think I have all
that
stuff.
Are you going to Spotify to look for
I do have some MC Hammer on Spotify. Do you want to hear that? But Pumps with the Bump is not on Spotify. They only have a couple MC Hammer albums. I have MC Hammer. Don't think I don't.
Please hammer don't hurt.
No, but I may be able to even like. Let me see.
Oh, that's greatest hits.
Right, but that pumps with the bump is not.
That's available. That's available on cassette and CD at your Sam Goody warehouse right now.
This may sound weird. I don't know how this is going to come off on the show.
Well, we'll see. It's Hammer. It's going to sound like heaven. What are you talking about? Oh. MC Hammer music?
Is it not coming through?
It's
not coming through. No. It's screwing something up.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, exactly. I'll play it through the speakers. You can hear it on the speakers, but I... That's too... So he does this. But this is what... This is... Now, this is what I... So I remember Hammer before he was famous. When I was...
When you were working the streets?
When Joel was working a corner in Cabrini Green. When I used to go to the teen dance clubs, this was the big one. Do you remember this? Let's get it started. Yeah, this is what Hammer opens up to. So anyway, listen to how hard Hammer was back then.
Listen to how simple rap was.
It was very simple. So anyway, so MC Hammer does, basically, the story is MC Hammer does great at the gathering, which was kind of amazing to me. So when Hammer's done, I'm walking around backstage just kind of just for no good reason. Yeah. And I'm walking around.
How did Chunky A do?
Chunky A was not there.
No? Chunky A. Is that going to be booked for next year?
Who was Chunky A?
That was Arsenio Hall
in a fat suit.
Tell Joe to book that.
Okay, we'll
Chunky
see.
Chunky A.
We might be able to get Arsenio out there.
He's would that be, come anything. On, it's every other loser from the 80s.
Right? So Hammer
was third base on the gathering?
No, they haven't been there. I don't know why.
What's the deal?
You want some inside gathering booking info?
Is there beef with third base? Because they're like,
no.
We're the original Wigger rappers?
No, I think the third base guys hate each other.
That's what it is.
I was told this. Now, this is from an inside source. We tried to book Criss Cross, and they no longer perform shows.
Wow.
That's inside just for you and then my listeners of Joel Radio. Criss Cross does no longer perform shows.
Honestly, here's the real problem with being famous at one point. If someone said, I will give you a check for a couple thousand dollars if you come out to Southern Illinois, I would go do it.
Yeah.
Even if I was Criss Cross.
Exactly.
Because what money do those guys have?
Exactly. So anyway, let me finish the story on Hammer and then we'll move along. Hammer... I'm just walking around backstage not knowing, just kind of trying to see, like, from the side of the stage or whatever. And it's very dark back there between bands, and I couldn't really see anything. And there's, like, three guys just hanging around, and I kind of bumped into them accidentally, And it's Hammer and, like, two of his buddies. And I didn't mean to, like, go talk to Hammer. But I said, oh, Hammer, that was a great show, and I'm Upchuck the Clown from Psychopathic Records. And he says this to me. This is amazing. He goes, I know exactly who you are. I follow everything you do. And I watch everything from Psychopathic. So apparently he's like, he not only did he just do the gathering, he actually like schooled himself on what goes on at Psychopathic.
Now let me ask you this.
Which is cool.
Now let me ask you this.
So Hammer.
Do you think Hammer enjoys the ICP because the passé?
Yeah.
Because of the inherent sort of retarded Christianism?
Do you think there's a religious angle to it? I think Hammer looked at this as a... I think he's a businessman.
Uh-huh.
And I think he looked at this as sort of like... He wanted to understand the phenomenon before he agreed to go. No, I really do. Because, you know, Hammer's business now is he manages MMA fighters.
Oh.
That's his main... I think really? One of his businesses now.
Well,
But my point is that I think he wanted to know what goes on at Psychopathic. So when he comes up to me and says he knows who I am, I'm like, wow, that's...
I don't doubt it.
I mean, just juggalos who don't know who I am. And Hammer's like, yeah, I know exactly who you are. And he was super nice and talked about, you know what? And I said, what did you school yourself? He says, yeah, I wanted to know where I was. He says, I hear stories about, you know, acts that come out and they don't know where they are and they say the wrong thing to the crowd and gets them pissed off. And he said, I wanted to get everybody into it. And stuff, and he was super cool, and he's like, I'd love to come back.
He did his homework, and that's cool.
He did, and so it was super cool. And then I got Leah. I talked to Leah. I said, you know, I just talked to MC Hammer. He was super cool. I said, let's go take a picture. Again, this is one of the rare things I would ever take a picture. I said, MC Hammer was so cool, and he said he liked me and stuff that I felt like it would be an opportunity. So I introduced him to Leah, and we took our picture. There's
Hammer looks
Hammer.
A little bit like he's in Harlem Heat or something. He looks – he's wearing, like, dark sunglasses and a bandana.
He had just come off the stage, so he's, But Hammer was super cool, and then if that wasn't enough,
my God, kids, All your rap icons from the 80s.
Yeah, I met Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer, which means I'm going to be hanging out with Kanye and Jay-Z in like 2031 or whatever, right? Isn't that what's going to happen?
Where was
me and Gaga?
Where was Busta Rhymes?
Busta Rhymes was there. Busta Rhymes was he went out after Hammer. But then, even better, because this shirt was very controversial. You see that shirt that that's some thrift store thing I bought?
Okay, that was controversial?
Well, it wasn't controversial. It's a shirt with sharks, but to a lot of people it looks like dolphins, which is kind of different because dolphins are kind of gay.
I understand.
And sharks are kind of fierce.
Right.
And to me it's kind of a shark
shirt.
You get
two dolphins together, they kick a shark's ass.
So anyway, so I put up that picture because people liked the shirt, and I put up a thing about how MC Hammer liked the shirt. And apparently I didn't even tag him in it, but it got back to him. And MC Hammer put on August 25th on Twitter, he gave me a shout-out, Upchuck, at Upchuck Live, and it says, Upchuck, my man, from MC Hammer on Twitter. So there you go. So Hammer really likes me. And I like him. So there you go.
You've really done it, Joel.
I'm a fan of Hammer now. I was a fan of, like I said, when I used to go to the teen dance clubs, before You Can't Touch This came out, they used to play all Hammer. From his first album, and it was good.
Should I?
This is like in 1988, though.
Well, I'm trying to remember what was his original fucking song.
Yeah, let's get it started. Turn This Mother Out. You know, remember Turn This Mother Out?
Yeah, I do remember Turn This Mother Out.
I'm going to play Turn This Mother Out.
Well, it was weird because Hammer, you're right, Hammer had a reputation.
But he was like a big club act.
Yeah.
And then he went mainstream.
And he was considered kind of hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got all sold out and wore big pants.
Yeah, he kind of got caught up in that, and you know.
And then he made a cartoon.
He made a lot of shit.
Where he had
made
magic
a lot of,
shoes.
He made a lot of shit. Remember, he had British Knight sneakers and
right,
stuff.
Right. So you need to meet what Peter Brady and Adrian Curry.
Have I met the whole cast of Surreal Life?
What Surreal Life members?
Well, I think Tammy Faye's dead.
Tammy
right?
Faye's passed.
So
yeah, who else could you?
Was Gary Coleman on the first?
I think Emmanuel Lewis. You could probably get in.
I did meet Dustin Diamond throughout the course of the weekend as well. Yeah, I did meet Dustin Diamond, was the main stage host the first day. I met him.
Yeah.
I could have met Flavor Flav. He was there, but I did not introduce myself. Come on, how great is that?
Sure. Yeah.
That's from Spotify. But yeah, and then the other, speaking of has-beens, we can just move on to this. If you want to talk about... Because again, I think from Surreal Life 1... There's myself with Ron Jeremy and Jimmy J.J. Walker.
This really is the Portage on a comedy.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy did comedy. Ron was doing other shit during the week. And
What other shit was Ron doing?
Ron was doing like the wet t-shirt contest and that.
Oh, God.
And that's kind of a gig that I used to do, but I don't
Should
do
we
that anymore.
I think we called Ron after the gathering.
We
last
did.
Year.
I'm not going to call Ron today.
The annual calling of
but
Ron.
But I have
Jeremy.
Ron. Ron's cool, and Ron remembered me, and we had a good time again. But Ron, this is my gift from Ron Jeremy. I just want to show you. This is...
He jizzed in a bottle.
He kind of looks like... No, Corey, if you look at me, this is Ron DeJeremy brand rum.
Jesus Christ.
And he did give it to me about...
I think I'd rather drink his jizz. Are you shitting?
This is Ron DeJeremy
what?
Rum.
Who's going to buy Ron Jeremy rum?
Well, he gave it to me, and I don't know who makes
this. Is
this
on a shelf somewhere?
This is imported by One-Eyed Spirits. Round Rock, Texas. Product of Panama.
Jesus.
Ron DeJeremy rum. Now, he gave it to me.
Oh, my God.
In this state. Like, I didn't drink the rum that's
Let
missing from
smell
it.
Smell this fucking garbage. He gave it to you. A third full?
He is kind of a cheap Jew, Ron, I'll be honest. So he gave it to me, but you can read...
What?
Read the label. He signed it for me and everything, so... That is,
It says $200 eBay.
Well, he writes that it's $200 on eBay if you want to buy it. I don't know if that's true. Probably not three quarters empty, but... Does it smell like rum?
Yeah, it actually.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't drank any of it, but
I thought it was going to smell like turpentine. But it didn't.
And you see what he wrote on there? He says,
"Yeah, all the best."
Yeah, he says, "To my man Upchuck, you're the best, Ron Jeremy." And he writes $200 eBay on it, like that's really going to make it. So Ron signed this for
me. And put it on eBay and see what you can get for it.
See,
the Ron DeJeremy.
Ron DeJeremy rum, a Spanish word for rum is ron.
Really?
Ron's come in plenty, but only one is larger than life, a legend. Ron DeJeremy is created to honor the man. It opens up smoothly, showcasing a high level of craftsmanship. The deeply satisfying finish is elegant and long, true to the aromas and flavors experienced on the palate. Ron DeJeremy is full of character, yet smooth and unmistakable. It is an adult rum, equally memorable, neat, on the rocks, or as a mixer. As Ron always says, enjoy responsibly. And it's individually numbered as well.
This is
number 09562. Ron DeJeremy rum. So I've had this sitting on my bar. I think I'm going to just fill it up with some other rum. I don't think I want. I think I'm going to wash it out and rinse it. And maybe I can feed other people.
You don't want the Ron Jeremy sensation?
It's got a long, smooth taste. And, of course, the best part, people can see this, is a picture of Ron, like a drawing of Ron on the thing.
We're very silly child men.
Yeah.
I have hanging on my wall a signed photo by John Saxon.
You do.
That's one of my prized possessions.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I also have a Wes Anderson poster signed, but anyway, I do have a John Saxon poster, but the Ron Jeremy bottle of rum.
That's pretty good, right?
That's sensational.
Signed by Ron. So there you go.
It's
given to me and signed by Ron.
I can't believe Ron can write. That's really
Ron. Ron's a smart guy.
He wrote a book.
Yeah, I don't know. He was an instructor of, I don't know what he was an instructor of, something. He was a school teacher.
That's maybe the scariest.
And that's Jimmy Walker.
I gotta just say right now. That's the scariest photo I've ever seen.
Who's the scariest? Me, Jimmy Walker, or Ron Jeremy?
I'm gonna go Jimmy.
You're gonna go Jimmy?
It's really, you're wearing clown makeup, which is,
And Jimmy Walker's still scarier?
I mean, Joel in a wig and makeup is pure nightmare fuel. It's really dreadful. And Ron really looks like he looks like the cartoon from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He looks like their neighbor, Carl.
I don't know that show.
You know that?
But,
they got a fat neighbor and a wife beater.
Yeah.
Ron looks like someone. You know what he looks like? Looks like the Men in Black version of Ron. Like there's no one home. There's a cockroach in his skin. But what happened to JJ?
JJ is old and.
Jimmy.
JJ's got to be 60, so. You know.
But Jimmy's got his head's different colors.
It's
like, you notice that?
His head is blacker than his neck.
Like his face. It's like he's wearing a mask of raccoon colors or something.
You know, he's old and black. That's
but
no, all.
But like his nose is light brown and the rest of him is like a sooty kind of darkness.
Jimmy was cool. I've met Jimmy in the past from doing this, and there was a year Jimmy didn't show up to the gathering, and Jimmy made my assholes of the year for that, if you remember correctly.
Yes.
And I just want to say I have to apologize and take that back because apparently what happened the year Jimmy didn't show up is that Jimmy was at the airport.
Ah.
And, like, he'd flown into Evansville, Indiana, and we were supposed to pick him up and drive him.
And no one got him.
And somebody in the office fucked up and didn't get Jimmy.
Wait,
so it wasn't Jimmy's fault. I know what you're going to say.
You know who's going to pick
him? The guys with the clowns aren't picking him up.
Weren't the Cottonmouth Kings supposed to pick him up?
The Cottonmouth Kings probably came out of tour bus.
They were too hot.
No, they were...
Hey, Potluck, yo, go get Kid Dynamite from the airport. And they were like, buddy.
So Jimmy.
Yo, Uppy Chuck.
So Jimmy did a good job. Although, here's one thing about Jimmy that I found out. He shows up and he goes, look. And I think Jimmy was
booked. He's a white man.
Jimmy's like.
He pulled the mask off.
He goes, hey, look.
And it was Willie Ames underneath. It was like Mission Impossible. That's why he doesn't look real.
Right.
It's like a Jimmy Walker mask.
Sorry. He did. He pulled off the mask. It was Dwayne. It was unbelievable. But here's the point.
Willie Ames. Can you get him for next year?
We'll see. Maybe him and Bayo can come.
Why don't you have him come do Bible Man and just do a stage Bible Man live at the gathering?
We'll get Kirk Cameron and him.
Let me book this motherfucker.
I think you're quite much to book the gathering. Wait a minute. So Jimmy shows up and goes... Jimmy goes like this. He goes, I want to do like a Q&A. And I go, well, you're booked to do like an hour of stand-up comedy. What do you want to do? And
I don't want to do a joke.
He goes, I want to do Q&A because this is not my audience. This is not normally who I play to, if that's okay. And he kept calling me Joel. He's like, I don't want to call you up, Chuck. What's your real name?
Yeah.
And I go, Joel. And he goes, all right, Joel. And he kept calling me Joel. It was very odd, you know, being like kind of. You know,
Jimmy
told what to do by Jimmy Walker. But Jimmy was cool. And he gets on stage and I go, he's just doing a Q&A. And so I went for my intro and I said, look, I know you expect to see comedy, but it's very Jimmy's just going to tell, you know, he takes some questions from me, you know, tell. And meanwhile, then Jimmy goes into a whole bits about Casey Anthony and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy did a whole set. And then he did a Q&A. So Jimmy did fine. He did very well. So Jimmy did very well. He redeemed himself. He's not my friend like MC Hammer is, but I like Jimmy.
I can imagine him doing a different set and not being prepared for what. I mean, honestly, who can prepare for what those.
Well, Jimmy either plays clubs or he does like old school, like R&B revivals where he'll be like the MC. And he'll like bring out.
Y'all remember the Stylistics?
I was gonna say he'll bring out the Stylistics and the Chi Lights and whoever, and he'll bring
these brothers from Philadelphia had a sound.
Right,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I watched Steve Harvey hosting the Family Feud the other day.
Yeah. I was gonna let Hammer to his take on Have You Seen Her while you're talking about.
Now, good times were set in Chicago. And that's where these smooth-sounding soul brothers hail from. Can you dig it? Give it up for the very buttery softness of the Shy Lights.
And then Hammer kind of just bit everything to do this song, right? I mean, this is...
I mean, why is this man not more of an icon?
I can see MC Hammer making a comeback. I'm not.
I got it. Let me book the gathering.
What do you got? What do you got? I'm gonna write this down.
Kill this.
You want to kill? Have you seen her? I was gonna get to the chorus. All right.
Here's what we do.
All right. What do you got?
We're gonna get everybody from the Moni Love. Is she there?
Let me write this down. Moni Love.
Curtis Blow. Is he still
Curtis
alive?
Curtis Blow.
All right. But no, here's who you got to get. Here's what you got to get. Did you see the recent blog by an 80s icon?
You got to be a little more...
She was very controversial on SNL.
Very controversial. Janine Garofalo.
Sinead O'Connor.
That's who we want.
Who, by the way...
Because no one would throw shit at Sinead O'Connor.
Okay. She grew her hair out and she bloated up a little
She's like 300 pounds now, yeah.
She blogged that she can't find a man.
Well,
but she said the difficult brown is on the table.
What does that mean?
If she said the back door is open.
Oh.
In her blog.
All right, all right.
And she posted
let's
it.
Move along.
No, what I'm saying
I
is
have no interest
we're going to have a Juggalo contest to cornhole Sinead O'Connor.
That's it. So you think she would get over... If she sang...
She butt-fucked a Juggalo.
Nothing compares to you while getting ass-raped in the back by Potluck or something. Is that what you're saying?
No. I think you have a contest.
Yeah.
And who wants to bang Sinead O'Connor?
Sure.
And the winning Juggalo will come out and bang her on stage while she tears up a photo of the Pope.
Okay.
I think that's a beautiful thing. What do you
we'll
think?
Work on that. I'll call the powers that be, and we'll try to get that booked. So, yes.
Is Bronson Pinchot available?
I don't know. I also have, now this is a picture of a friend of mine, but on the left you'll see, you want to see, what do you think Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express looks like nowadays?
Oh, sweet Christ, he's got to look like
this. Because I'm not even going to get into wrestling in this conversation because,
yeah, sure.
But on the left you see, that's Ricky. Wow. That's one half of the Rock and Roll
Jesus.
Express.
Jesus.
Ricky, it's Al Snow on the right.
Oh, that's Al Snow.
That's Al Snow on the right, but Al's...
I was wondering who that was.
Al hasn't been that out.
This is moments before that the girl was never seen again.
And that's the great Mickey Knuckles. That's Mickey Knuckles, one of the great female wrestlers on the indie scene. She was known as Moose Knuckles in TNA, but she's Mickey Knuckles. Mickey's cool. Mickey does JCW with us. She's Ella's mother.
I can't take any more psychopaths.
Okay. Wait a minute.
I can't take it.
All right.
What?
So Kamala the Ugandan Giant smoking a joint with
Jesus
Ron Jeremy. No,
Christ.
That's a joke, but something like that could happen. And then so...
So Harley Race says, here, try this chili.
Do you want to hear about Brian...
Harley dead?
Harley's still alive. I was going to just leave you with one last story because it's comedy related.
Yeah.
About how Brian Posehn was there.
Oh, how did Brian do?
Well, Brian, you know, Brian did great, but Brian was very nervous.
We met him briefly.
Yeah, we met him a couple weeks before the gathering at the Magic Bag.
Yeah, I did an interview with him, so I talked to him for about a half hour. He's nice.
And I'm guessing you brought up, and I know he brought it up in his stand-up when we saw him here in Detroit, about how he's not smoking weed anymore.
Right.
And he was very nervous about the gathering and about, like, you know, what goes on here, and the kids are going to give me weed and stuff. And I said, yeah, probably. So him and Harlan Williams, they performed together, and they traveled in from L.A. together. And So they get there, and I had met Harlan because I had opened room at the castle, and I actually kind of booked Harlan because I convinced him to do it, basically, at the castle. I said, you have a good time, and the kids will like you, and Harlan did a great job, too. But anyway, so they guys show up, and I said, would you guys want to go for a little tour of the gathering? You get on my golf cart, and we had, you know, an hour to kill before the show. So they said, sure. So we got on the golf cart, and we drove around, and there's a thing at the gathering. And I showed them the main stage and this stage and that stage and some of the campsites and, you know, they were having a good time. There's something called...
Did you take them to the drug bridge?
That's what I was going
to
say. There's something called the drug bridge. Yeah. And I said, look, we don't have to go to the drug bridge because there's hundreds of kids and they're going to hassle me anyway. If you want to go to the drug bridge, we can go.
Ron Jeremy was the troll.
That was
Ron Jeremy was the troll under the drug bridge.
That was one of the Charlie Sheen jokes. Actually, Leah wrote this and it was good. That Charlie was supposed to say, hey, I was on your drug bridge. That was great. I'm having one built at my house. You know, I got a cheap pop, but, you know, that was Leah wrote that. It was pretty good, right? So anyway, so I said, do you guys want to do this? And I don't know what Brian ever did with the video, but Brian turned on his iPhone and took a video of us going over the drug bridge that he played back to me, and it was pretty funny. So imagine you're on the drug bridge, high on God knows what.
The bridge is where the kids go and exchange pharmaceuticals.
And it's basically where you go and people have a sign and say, if you want to buy Xanax, they're 10 bucks or whatever you want to buy. And kids will have big hits of weed, you know, big bongs, and you can hit them. So Brian went over. I said, if you don't want to do it, Brian, we don't have to do it. We can drive around the other way. He said, let's go for it. So I took Brian and Harlan over the drug bridge, which they found to be entertaining. And yeah. Brian took a video. I don't know if he ever put it up, but it was pretty good.
What about Harlan? Is he a big...
No, I don't think Harlan does anything. Harlan's fun. So at the drug bridge, you know, Brian didn't do any weed, and he gets to doing a stand-up. Harlan goes first, does his stand-up. Harlan was in Big Money Hustlers, the first ICP movie, so they know him from that. So Harlan goes over, and hey, he's a very, very funny comic anyway. Harlan does great. So now it's time for Brian to go up, and Brian's doing great. And then he talks about, you know, I used to smoke weed, and he's doing a lot of the jokes that he did in here in the Magic Bag. And then he goes, you know, I used to smoke weed, and I talked about it, and I was nervous about coming to the gathering. And within about 30 seconds, a kid puts a 5-foot bong on stage with him and goes, hit that. And he goes, you know, I'm not really into it. And the kid, like, won't leave. And then Brian goes, all right, fuck it. I'm going to fucking smoke that big bong, right? And he was very proud, you know, legitimately about, you know, being off the weed because he's got a kid and he's trying to. And so he takes this kid's lighter and he's trying to hit this giant bong. Well, there's a fan. There's two giant, like, air conditioning, like, you know, giant, like, fans, 6-foot-high fans.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't even light this bong. I'm trying to actually, you know, get off the wagon and smoke this weed, and I can't. And the kids, so I ran on stage and turned off the big giant fans, and Brian smoked away, and he got a huge pop. So Brian broke his.
Well, I'm glad you ruined a man's sobriety.
I did, but it was a pop. Oh. He made the decision to do it, not me. But, so Brian, what are you looking at?
I'm just looking at your challenge day.
What about it?
Just like, I'm going to challenge you to get off ICP.
Yeah, that would be a challenge. Anyway, so,
Oh, Christ.
So Posehn and them did well. And then Mick Foley did comedy that night as well. And Mick did a nice job. I got to hang out with Mick a little bit. He gave me a super soaker. So I have Mick Foley's super soaker.
Well, that's grand of him.
I don't know if he...
Fill it with the Ron Jeremy rum.
And shoot it in Jimmy Walker's face.
And there you go. I'll book next year's
Sinead
gathering.
O'Connor's going to bend over, and I'm going to shoot the Super Soaker from Mick Foley into the
oh,
ring.
My God.
So, yeah, that was good. And, you know, and the gathering was generally pretty good. The fans were very well behaved, which was better. There was no shit throwing
incidents.
What
about Salt and Pepper? Would they come do the gathering?
I don't know what the deal with Salt and Pepper.
They're too good for
that. I'm sure there's a possibility of that. But we had Mystical.
How about Lil' Kim?
But Mystical, who was in jail.
There you go.
Remember, he just shake your ass. Watch yourself. He was in jail until recently, so we
what if he got him. What if he got like Wasp and
Wasp.
You got Wasp. Did you get Wasp? Would they get
I don't know.
Did they draw the line at real big?
I could see like Motley Crue doing well there or something.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't you see that?
Motley Crue would actually do
if they came out and did Girls, Girls, Girls and stuff, that'd be great.
They would do so well that
I think so.
I don't think they'd ever book them. They would be too good.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I tell you what, Busta Rhymes did great. MC Hammer did great. I'm trying to think of the old school acts we kind of brought back. We had Saliva. Do you remember them?
No.
They were some hits in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Click, Click, Boom. They were like a hard rock band.
Did you bring
them? They did okay.
Aqua, did they do Barbie Girl?
Aqua did not do Barbie Girl.
No, you didn't bring that.
Yes, we had...
Why don't you just book the 90s one-hit wonder hour?
Yeah. We had the future so bright, I got to wear shades.
Right,
we had
right. Timbuk 3?
Timbuk 3.
What if you had the...
Edie Brickell and New Bohemians up next on the main stage.
How about the Proclaimers?
When I grow up.
Welcome to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Now you know who I'm going to be.
We're so glad to be here at the Gathering of the Juggalos. I don't even know what a juggalo is, but it's good to be here. Yakov Smirnoff, can you get
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Book that. That's what you got to book.
Yes.
Book that no-talent Russian motherfucker right now.
Yes.
Get him on the phone.
In Russia, Fago throws bottles at you. Right? Isn't that the... What was it?
Can I get some netting for a ninja? We're a country! Oh, shit. In Russia, a potato is a miracle. How does that shit work? All right, let's... Yeah, I'm telling you, get Yakov. Book him. All right.
In Russia, the gathering happened at your house. I mean, what? I don't know what it is.
KGB gather at your house every day.
We have the gathering of the Politburo.
We can't have gatherings in Russia.
We can only have gathering in private.
In the prison.
Yeah, I don't know that Yakov Smirnoff.
I think Yakov would be great.
You think him? You want him booked comedy-wise?
Well, put him, clown him up. Make him and put him in makeup and
do you want to hear about Iron Sheik, or should we just move on?
It's too sad.
So we'll move on. We don't talk about Iron Sheik.
God bless you, Iron Sheik.
Let me just generalize it. Yeah. Iron Sheik is so old and so decrepit, he doesn't have the energy to even call Hulk Hogan a faggot anymore. And it's sad. It's a sad day.
That is a sad day.
Now, maybe because it was 3 in the morning on a Saturday night, and he didn't. Oh, I have to tell you this about Iron Sheik. So, yeah, Iron Sheik just didn't. You know, Iron Sheik needs to be interviewed. He doesn't like to stand up there by himself. Yeah, in fact, he sits in a chair and sits next to him. But Iron Sheik's manager is his nephew.
You know how hard it is to get falafel in Southern Illinois? You know how hard it is to get
Iron Sheik's manager is his nephew?
Yeah.
And he says to me, I said, look, we'll
did
do
he
this.
Eat a turkey leg?
I don't know. I don't
that's
think
all I
want
to know about Iron Sheik. He was walking around eating a turkey leg.
No, he's in a golf cart because he can barely walk. So Sheik comes up, and I'm talking to Sheik's Sheik's manager, pulls me aside. He says, okay, so we'll talk about Hulk Hogan and B. Brian Blair, and we'll talk about WrestleMania 3, and he'll call this guy a fag. And he goes, yeah, he'll do all that.
Isn't the shtick he's done before?
Exactly, because I've seen him before. He came there with Shuley from Howard Stern, and Shuley got him all fired up, and Sheik went crazy and called everybody a faggot, and it was great, right? So then Sheik, so I'm trying to say, well, that's what we'll do, and the guy's like, yeah, he goes, this is what he says. If it's not going well, this is what you can say to really set him off. He says, tell him that you heard that Osama bin Laden fucked him in the ass. This is his manager, his nephew, telling me to ask Sheik if Osama bin Laden fucked him in the ass. And then Sheik's going to go crazy, and yeah. I have to be worried that Sheik's going to go nuts and turn on me. Mm-hmm. So I'm up there, and it's really not going well, and I'm trying to get him fired about Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, a gentleman, he recognized. He can't even put down Hulk Hogan anymore. I said, listen, Sheik, now I don't know what you heard. I heard this on the news. I don't know where you're in. I heard that Osama bin Laden fucked you in the ass, and he just didn't go for it. And it was terrible.
When you think when a guy's like 60 years old and still that preoccupied with like calling people faggots and how they're going to fuck somebody in the ass, don't you think that maybe he and Greg the Hammer Valentine were tapping nuts together backstage?
Greg Valentine was at the gathering. I didn't meet him, but he fought Tito Santana in a cage match.
They're two dangling clock weights, and they kind of like those balls at the on the desk. You know, in an office, those big motion balls. Like when Sheik is hammering Greg, their balls are just colliding together.
Why would you pick Greg Valentine?
I'm just picking a name.
I don't know what Sheik's up to. But
okay,
Sheik.
Rick Martel. When he's fucking
when
Rick Sheik, Martel.
Tom Zenk, I think is what you want. But listen, when Sheik.
Tom Zenk.
When Sheik would get drunk. And Sheik would be on drugs.
He's fucking Jacques.
He was crazy.
Jacques Rougeau.
And he would go nuts, and it was great, and it was fun. And Sheik couldn't pull that shtick off this year. It was very sad. So Sheik.
Did he
was
need
nice
hashish?
I don't know what he needed. I could have got him any drug he wanted, but he just seemed like he wanted to go home.
Yeah, I love how that guy calls himself a sheik, but he's like a pissant in Arab terms. You know what I mean?
Listen, I'm not putting down Iron Sheik. He's a great man.
I'm just
saying, Iron Sheik.
I'm saying in the actual Arab world, a real sheik wouldn't wipe their ass with him. But he's a sheik.
What was his wrestling character?
I know.
So my, you know.
Who's gay in wrestling? That's our next topic.
Well, there's a whole, you want that board?
I can't. We can't do that whole board.
I don't. Looked, did you look?
I read some of it.
Did you read some of it? Urban Legends of Professional
Joel
Wrestling.
Joel sends me this link, and it's 400 of these
it's
things.
400, and let me get you the real number. It's like, it's 460.
It's all like, Butch Reed liked to pee on hotel carpets. It's all stuff like that, right?
All right, let me get... Now, this is... Like, again, I don't know this. I'm just going to read one
Ronnie
at
Garvin took a dump in a mason jar and sealed it up and put it in the refrigerator for Magnum TA to
Let me read a couple juicy ones. This is from something called the Online Wrestling... Online Onslaught Wrestling Forums. Here's number 451. Brutus Beefcake is gay and only likes black guys. He also only works for feds that get him blow. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a rumor. It's on this Legend website.
Come on.
Let me read another one. Hugh Morris once broke Matthew Lesko's jaw in a bar fight over the question marks on their outfits. You know who Matthew Lesko is? The crazy guy who says, I can get you, and he sells you the big book.
That's a joke.
Is it a joke? I don't know.
That's a joke.
Okay. I don't know if these are jokes. These are just a bunch of... And there's a bunch of like locker room fights that they talk about. And...
Well, see, I believe I'm inclined to believe. But here's the thing.
Yeah,
I'm inclined to believe some of the locker room fights.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna guess probably 80% of this is garbage.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's really a question of weeding through what you think is plausible.
Sure. Okay. Let me plausible or not plausible. The Freebirds had a habit of initiating new wrestlers by pissing on them while they showered. True or false? Yes or no? You agree or disagree?
I don't think that's true.
Let me read you the next one. Number 149. Andre the Giant had a habit of shitting in hotel bathtubs.
That I would believe.
Because he's a big giant.
Because
he might break
he
the
probably
toilet.
Probably couldn't sit on the toilet.
Okay. All right.
Particularly if it was a toilet that was attached to the wall like they have in Europe.
Okay.
Those scare me, by the way.
Yeah?
I faced a couple of those in Europe, and I was like, I can't sit down. It's just a bowl. There's no pedestal.
Okay.
It's a bowl attached to a wall. Andre couldn't sit on a toilet,
sure.
I think. See, there's logic to that one. When you're like, Marty and Jannetty used to toss salads backstage. like, that's when I start to call foul on these wrestling rumors.
Andre the Giant once called Kamala a nigger, and Kamala stuck a gun into his face. Andre was nice to Kamala after that. That's number 70. I don't know.
Well, now, who, first of all...
What would it sound like if Andre the Giant was calling you the N-word?
My thing is, I'm not going to do it.
Come on, you can do it.
Kamala, you are Look.
You are the N-word.
First of all, I wouldn't stick shit in Andre's face because he could swat me before I got a shot off, even if I was Kamala.
Right.
Two, now maybe this is all kayfabe, but Andre supposedly a nice guy.
I don't know.
A gentle giant.
I thought Hulk Hogan said that, you know, if Andre got mad, that Andre wouldn't do anything. That Andre, you know, he could have crushed you in the match.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He didn't want to.
Well, Hogan has sold that for years.
Exactly, yeah.
You couldn't do anything Andre didn't let you.
How much time is left on the show?
2 hours.
So much show.
What, more? Any more?
No, I mean, that's enough for now. Maybe if other things come up, I'll think of it. I did meet Dustin Diamond, who I had heard a lot of bad things about. And I thought Dustin was a super nice guy, so I had nothing bad.
Jesus.
I wish I could talk shit on guys, but I don't,
you know.
You're
killing me with this.
I don't have anything bad. No, everybody was cool.
Dustin Diamond.
Potluck was cool. Cottonmouth Kings.
Stop. You're killing me with this.
No, Dustin was nice. I went up to Dustin, and I said, hey, what's because he was hosting the main stage.
How was One Hitter? Was he good?
I don't know who One Hitter
is. No? Water Pipe? Was he good? No? The Vaporizers?
No,
are they good to work with?
I don't know the Vaporizers.
Didn't the Vaporizers?
I did meet Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown was there.
Didn't the Vaporizers wrestle the Midnight Express?
And they did. Apparently, they were blowing. They were taking a shit in somebody's bag. No,
now I heard that Bill Watts liked to collect schoolgirls' panties. Is that on there?
That's probably not on there. I don't see that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Corey and Joel will talk about obscure wrestling.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I like the one about how there was a fake Ultimate Warrior.
That was
a ridiculous bit. All right. What else? Anything good?
No, that's fine. Right. No more gathering stuff either. It's enough.
It's officially the end of gathering talk.
It is, well, you know.
Next August, everybody.
But I'm on Deadspin's photo gallery. I'm on BuzzFeed's photo gallery. I'll try to put these up, driven by boredom. That guy has the best pictures. Igor, that guy's cool. Village Voice has great coverage with Camille. They're really cool people, and they get it, so they write good stuff. Most of the articles are pretty bad. The BuzzFeed stuff was fine, but it was real jokey. You know, the BuzzFeed, like, they had, like, I think they had the list of homemade signs they found at the gathering, which I thought was entertaining. There's some good stuff on there. So you can get good flavor from them. I don't need to tell you all that stuff. Well, it's all on there if you want to know.
Joel, it's a great opportunity to meet all the stars of the 80s and 70s. It's a wonderful place to meet people who were famous 20 years ago.
Well, I like MC Hammer. I like George Clinton and them, and I like Vanilla Ice. Mm-hmm. And so, I saw Exhibit for a minute. I didn't really talk to him, but Exhibit was there.
The problem for me is I sit there and I go, you know, it'd be kind of fun to get a bottle of rum from Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think, I got to sit through all that other garbage.
Well.
And I can't, that's the part I can never reconcile with.
But I the stuff that I do, like I run the seminars for the artists, like Twisted and ICP and that.
What kind of a seminar is that for Twisted?
We have a big tent. It's called the Seminar Tent. It's where we do comedy in the evening. And like Twisted talks to the fans and they can ask Twisted questions. And so I go out in the crowd with a mic and then Twisted's on stage and kids will ask him questions and Twisted. And Twisted's hilarious. They're really funny guys.
So. Having heard the questions that come in on the radio show.
Well, okay. Oh, yeah, you did the radio show once. And I would say, and Twisted, I think, is aware that it's not all of the questions are great questions.
No.
So, it's
I know doing Q&As for like indie movie screenings.
Yeah.
And I tell people now at this point, I go, don't ask about your screenplay.
Right.
Like, it's all people go, how do you get into movies?
Yeah.
Just ask about...
The big thing at the gathering is, will you sign this for me? Will you take a picture with me?
Right.
And they do autograph sessions and a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. And so some of the artists do get a little upset when it's constantly, ask me for a picture, ask me for an autograph.
Somebody asked Twisted if they could sign their dead baby.
No, there was none of that happening.
No?
I didn't see any dead babies at this, so...
What, did they sign the dead baby and then bronze it? What do they do?
I don't know.
Do they put it in, like,
there is a famous lacquer? Juggalo dead baby thing that I was...
You were involved in
it. I was involved in a very tangential way in that. It's enough.
More Joe and Joey.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I do during the other times. Because I get to do stuff like that. And then I hosted stuff on the pay-per-view. I went in the crowd, talked to the fans. I hosted the comedy shows.
Sure.
And I, emceed the main stage when I could, when I needed to in place of Charlie Sheen.
It sounds like a...
So I met Charlie Sheen. Here's what I met. I met Charlie Sheen, Dustin Diamond, MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, yeah. George Clinton, Exhibit, Brian Posehn, Jimmy Walker, Mick Foley.
I'm telling you,
Ron Jeremy.
You met so many quasi-famous people.
Of course, Scott Hall was there, who's my friend.
I would say you could meet in a weekend at the gathering what it would take you at least 3 years of going to comic book conventions to meet all of those people.
I really did meet everybody, and... believe me, we're going to book Carmine from Laverne and Shirley, and I'm going to knock that one off
now,
the bucket
list. Now,
Eddie Mecca is coming.
That'd be fucking great.
I'm going to... I want Eddie. He's too... Laverne and Shirley to us, to Juggalos, like...
It's ancient history.
Yeah, to Juggalos, that would be a show like... what would be the equivalent of that?
What about... Can you get...
Like, That's So Raven or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Could you get Kimmy Gibbler from Full House?
I can try to get Kimmy
Gibbler. What about Saget?
Okay, apparently we tried to book Saget, and he agreed, and then he found out it's in the middle of the night and it's outdoors, and Saget didn't want to do it. So that was
he got a whiff of what was
the problem. Wasn't that it was the gathering of the Juggalos? It was just the problem was it was in the middle of the night.
I think they probably offer to people, and then they take a good look and they go, maybe
well,
not.
Well, apparently when I talked to Harlan about doing it, Harlan said, "Well, I'm good friends with Tom Green. Let me talk to him because Tom had done it the year before." And apparently Tom had some decent stuff to say about it, I guess. So,
Funny because I thought Tom had kind of a rough experience.
Tom had a good time, but Tom was sort of in the middle of the tequila thing, too, and it got a little rough for him. But I think Tom's show was good.
Yeah.
I think Tom enjoyed that. I think he didn't like the negativity around tequila. All right, can I talk about – because I went to this – we could do another – can you do another – it's 5 o'clock. Can you do another 30 minutes or 20 minutes?
Maybe.
Because I got to talk about – I went to Cedar Point – which is the big amusement park. Which I had, when was the last time you went to Cedar Point? Because it's a Detroit tradition, a Michigan tradition.
I probably went to Cedar Point sometime in the 90s. It's been a long time.
So it's been at least a decade, if not more. It had been a decade for me.
Yeah.
And they'd built in that time 7, 8 roller coasters, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the chocolate drizzled?
I'm enjoying it.
Toffee. What was that? Popcorn. It's like Cracker Jack with chocolate.
Well, you can't eat too much of it. It's pretty rich.
It's real rich.
And it's all globbed together.
Yeah, that's because it was on my Cedar Point trip. And it sort of melted in the bag. And
I'm going to eat it loudly into the microphone.
Yeah, you go ahead. It's fine. So Cedar Point, and you know, and like they had built about 7 roller coasters. My girlfriend got free tickets. She said, let's go. I said, all right. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, and this is the complaint I had 10 years ago when I went, these fucking lines at Cedar Point are so gay. They're so bad. They're so stupid that you can't even do. They say they have 13 roller coasters at Cedar Point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can get on all of them in one day.
Well,
it's difficult.
I've never been a big amusement park guy anyway. We used to have Boblo here in Detroit,
right?
Which was an island in the middle of the Detroit River.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually like it was down by where the river meets the lake.
Right.
Like, is that Lake Erie?
It's downriver Detroit. Yeah, it's on. I don't think it's that far close to Lake Erie, but it's down river. Yeah.
The river's pretty big.
Yeah.
And it was an island in the middle of the river down.
Yeah, it's right
where
between...
it starts to lead out into the lake. Anyway, that was an amusement park. You could take a boat to ride over there. But Cedar Point is a hassle. It's all day. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's is it? It's in Sandusky, Ohio.
It's about, I think it's $41 to buy a full day's admission to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got free tickets through my girlfriend's work, so that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. But we got a hotel room in Sandusky for the night, so that cost $80.
Do you know how much Disney World is now?
Oh, God. Disney World's got to be $100. Is it $80 a day?
It's like $80 for a day.
$80 a day. And you have to do Disney. You can't do Disney in a day. You have to do it in about 3 days.
I mean, so, $80 for that shit?
Yeah. Cedar Point is way overpriced. Because, again, like, they have this thing, the Top Thrill Dragster. That's the big roller coaster at Cedar Point. And you know what that looks like at all? I could show you a picture, but it's basically, it's 400 feet high. They used to have the world record holder, the Millennium Force, which was 300 feet high. But now they've gone 400 feet high, and it takes off, like, it's got, like, this magnetic propulsion system where you don't have to go up a hill to get speed. It just shoots you out. You know, it's like a bullet train, basically.
Right.
So it shoots you out at like 105
miles
an
hour. Did you go on any suspended coasters?
I'll talk about those two, yeah. But this one isn't. This one, Top Thrill Dragster, they strap you into a seat, and it's very tight, and you're very locked in. Because it shoots you out 100 miles an hour up this 400-foot hill, and then it like turns you sideways. Then you come straight down the hill. Like, it's not a hill where it's gentle. It goes almost straight down. And then it does kind of this turn, and it's over. But we waited 90 minutes for this ride. It's 17 seconds long, the Top Thrill Dragster. And it's the biggest line in the park, and if you want to ride it, and again, they've built it since the last time I was there.
Yeah.
So I had to wait for this fucking Top Thrill Dragster. So we wait an hour. We're on the platform to get on. We're the second or third group that's going to get on this thing, and there's a mechanical failure. And all these engineers have to come out. So another 30 minutes of waiting for that. So it took all of 90 minutes to get on this fucking thing, and it was 17 seconds. And I got off, and I was like, yeah, it was thrilling going 100 miles an hour and going up and down that hill.
You waited 90 minutes for
it. It waited 90 minutes. It wasn't worth the wait, ultimately. And I thought that about like the Millennium Force, which I didn't even go on this trip, but I was there. I think that was the last time I was there with the year that opened.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not that good a ride. It's over too fast. These new coasters, the restraint systems are, your body doesn't even, you know, like the old ones, they're kind of rickety.
You didn't move.
And you move and you have to kind of hang on or, you know, these, you're so strapped in that you're really just ballast for the train. It's not even, and they're very smooth. They're not, they don't shake at all.
Right.
So it's, they're not even that thrilling.
When I was a kid, the Beast at Kings Island was a wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
Sure. Cedar Point has some of those. They have the Gemini and the Mean Streak. That are these
but
big
when you,
wooden
when you're on
coasters.
A wooden roller coaster, that shit rattles.
Yeah, they do.
And it feels rickety, and it's dangerous.
Yeah. It feels a little sense of danger.
And the Beast took a while. It was like a 5-minute ride.
Yeah, you do these things, and they still have the Gemini, which is a very long ride. The Magnum XL 200, which was sort of the first modern coaster, is there. And that's a very long ride. We got a really funny picture on that, too. You know, they sell you the picture after. My girlfriend's eyes were bugging out of her head. It was very funny. And so, you know, that's still a good ride. The Gemini is still a good ride. We went on that. We went on all the water rides, which I thought were kind of fun. And then they have something called the Skyhawk, which is a big swing.
God, you guys did it all day, huh?
Well, we did. We were there for 10 hours. But we only went on about 8 or 9 rides in 10 hours. Some of the waits weren't bad. Like the Gemini is a very short wait. The Magnum had a very short wait. There's something called the Maverick, which is relatively new, which is, again, a steel. It's more like the Millennium Force. That's an all-steel coaster. And there's, like, shoulder restraints and stuff. But that thing really kicks your ass. That was a pretty good ride. It went on for a while and back and forth and whips you and goes upside down a few times. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And the weights suck. The Wicked Twister is one of those. It goes up and then comes back.
What were the like suspended ones?
The suspended one is the Wicked Twister is one. It goes up. It basically, again, it propels you out of the gate. You go up a twisting thing, then you come back down it backwards, go to the back, and there's another thing. It's like a banana almost, but it's twisted at the top. So you go back and forth on that.
Yeah.
There's something called the Raptor, which I didn't go on, which is suspended. I didn't go on it this time, but I've been on it in the past. And the suspended ones are okay. They're a little more thrilling because your feet dangle.
You know what's a good ride?
What's that?
$6.96 at 5:30.
Well, you're going to – you'll be on that at 5:30. You got plenty, but if you leave at 7 or at 6:30 or 6 or something, you're not going to make it.
Oh, Dios mio.
And then the next day, because we decided, you know, we get a hotel room. So Cedar Point was a little bit of I went. It's been 10 years since I went. I'm glad I went. I might go in another 10 years, but other than that, I'm not really itching to go. Although the scariest thing I felt was something called the Wind Seeker, which is their new ride. It's a giant swing that's 300 feet in the air, which wasn't fast. And, like, there were tiny kids on it, and there's, like, you don't have to be tall to ride it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that the physics of that scared me more than, like, a roller coaster.
Well, you know what was scary? The pirate ship at State Fair.
Okay. Well, yeah, they have tons of stuff like that.
The pirate ship. Modern. It just goes back and forth like a pendulum. Yeah, but that's scary.
The Skyhawk is kind of a modern version of that. That goes super fucking high, like, way higher and stuff. But, yeah, there's something about, like, this thing, it just spins. It's a bunch of swings, about 50 swings. You get on it, and it goes up in the air, and you go around, and you're on the lake, and it's not fast or anything. And I told my girlfriend I was the scaredest on that, because if that thing breaks, there's nowhere to go but down. Whereas, like, a roller coaster, I kind of...
You're fucked.
It's... No, I think with a roller coaster, there's more gravity involved. I don't know. It just seems like the physics of something like the Wind Seeker was scarier to me. I don't know why. Anyway.
Well, there you go.
And then the next day... On the ride back, if there wasn't enough bullshit, touristy crap, we see signs, and my girlfriend loves animals and stuff, so we see the wild African safari things on the way back. Because we took Ohio Route 2 back instead of the turnpike.
You didn't go
scenic. We took the turnpike there. Well, Route 2 runs along.
Scenic Northern
it runs
Ohio.
Along, it runs along the lake. It's scenic for a minute, you know. So we said, let's go to this wild African safari park. So what could be at this thing? And it's the biggest traffic jam clusterfuck you ever saw. Anyway, we eventually get in, and it's $15 to get in, and then you got to buy carrots from them, and they give you these big cups of grain, and you get to go feed animals from your car.
Okay.
And here's the picture that this is on my Facebook now. Here, check this out. That's me feeding a full-grown ass buffalo.
Well, there you go.
With horns from the car. My girlfriend's Kia.
Well, there you go.
There I am feeding a giant. You can see the other big buffalo in the background roaming around. And there's lots of deers that come up to you and stuff. There's deer, alpacas, llamas. And they're all pretty gentle, but that buffalo is a little scary.
Well, it's a buffalo.
And you see how big his head is, like, bigger than the car window.
That's a big son of a bitch.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. I got to feed a buffalo. And, you know, there's some other photos from this fucking thing. No, these are my photos. That's me. That's me at the gathering. That's not what I was trying to show you. But anyway. Yeah, so I fed... My girlfriend's got them on her thing. I'd have to show you. But, you know, we fed a bunch of deer, llamas. They had giraffes that ran away from our car for some reason and then came back to the people behind us, so we didn't get to feed the giraffes. They had
Those
a white
damn
zebra.
Damn giraffes.
They had a white zebra.
A white zebra? Wait, I thought that was at the gathering.
They went on after potluck. White zebra. They're a hair metal band.
Yo, white zebra in this motherfucker. Oh, yeah. We got...
What do we got?
We got Ray J. Johnson coming for y'all at the gathering this year. Yeah.
You can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay. Yeah, so there's my girlfriend feeding a llama.
Bruce, baby man, boom, I'm going to kick that flavor.
There's a black and white zebra. The white zebra's cool because it's all white and you get up to it, and it's got stripes. It's white with white stripes.
Oh.
And you can only
Speaking of the white stripes, an ICP.
Oh, God. And yeah, there's me feeding a deer.
Yeah.
From my girlfriend. Do you want to talk about the ICP thing with Jack White?
No, I want to never talk about ICP ever.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up.
They made
look up ICP.
They made a song with Jack White,
which
is tastefully called "Leck mich im Arsch."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So in German, and it's lick my ass. Thank you. There you go.
What Jack White's doing? I mean, is it to the point where he so can't get pressed that he's got to use ICP, or is it just?
I don't know. He did a whole thing. You know, he did a whole thing where Stephen Colbert came down and like did his. Like, hung out with him and...
Right, Conan did that, too, with him.
Did his studio.
Yeah.
Jack's studio looks kind of cool.
Right.
He's got the Third Man Records in Nashville. But, yeah, he's out of his mind.
Right. I get why ICP did it, because they're being outrageous in that. But with Jack White, I mean, it's fine. I listened to the track, and it's not a great song by any means, but it's kind of a funny novelty record, I guess.
You know, I think Jack just does what he wants, and
is that what he wanted to do, or did he do it out of? Did he do it out of like trying to sort of ride that wave of?
Well, don't get me wrong. I think I don't know Jack real well, but I did know him for a minute when he started out. He's very calculated. Everything that guy does.
That's what I mean. I see that. I could see where you would use that as publicity for whatever he's doing.
And everybody around here will go. No, Jack's a cool. He's a real artist, man.
Yeah,
not everybody, because there are people that have run-ins with him,
right?
But you know, people whose noses have run into his fist.
Sure.
But yeah, I think I saw the guy when I saw the guy in his 20s.
Yeah,
in his mid 20s when he was around Detroit before he got famous. He thought he was famous already and had a plan.
Yeah,
and he put the plan into motion, and you know, it worked out for him.
I think that the thing with music that and just knowing what I know is that there's way more commerce involved than people want to think. You know, more people are doing it for the money than anyone wants to admit publicly.
Well, sure,
but there's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like
Sinead O'Connor.
Well, I'm not accusing
to get
this
boned in the ass,
but I'm saying that you know what I mean. There's very few. You know what I mean? There's people who you know won't get out of bed unless there's a check, right. You know what I mean? And as much as you think that
ought to be us,
hey, that would be great.
You and I get out of bed without checks all
the time. Well, here's the thing: people know we love this because that's why we're doing it, because they know there's no check. But if there was a check, would I do this? You know, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I do enjoy this, but I mean, there's so much that happens. And
I would have
so
needed
many,
a check for today, but
you needed a check for today.
Just anyway,
please.
No.
Listen, we know you see certain movies because there's a check.
I'm about to go see one right now.
What are you seeing tonight?
Some piece of Warrior.
A Warrior. Yeah, that might be okay. There's some good actors in it. I don't know that it's a
buzz,
good movie.
Yeah. Nick Nolte. Should you get him for the gathering?
Let me tell you something about drinking turpentine. Y'all never. I remember. What about you had? How about Gary Busey, Nick Nolte, Crazy Off?
Yeah.
What have you just had?
You want to throw Chris Walken in there? Eric Roberts?
Walken's dignified.
Okay. So you throw Nolte and Busey.
Yeah.
And
Busey will talk about the organism that is you eating you from
Gary
outside.
Busey would get shit thrown at him. And I might throw some shit at Gary Busey, come to think of it. I'm not a big Gary Busey fan. All right, so now you're saying it'll be the cast of Celebrity Apprentice.
Gary Busey would be like, you know, Juggalo. You know what that stands for? Just understand greater God loves overall.
You know, he loves to do that shit.
His acronyms are so full
right?
of shit.
Right, he loves to do those acronyms.
His fucking acronyms are so... Oh, he sucks. All right, let's get out of here. You ready to say goodnight? Because I...
Yeah, had enough.
Oh.
All right.
Well, I got to talk to you about a couple things. I'm going to rank these down off the air. But by the way, and I think it runs another week if you have HBO. Do you have HBO?
No.
Their documentary series is still all on demand, and you need to watch those. There's some good stuff on there. I haven't watched the Bobby Fischer one, but I watched something called Superheroes, where it's the real life crime fighting superheroes. There's a whole movie about it. It was a really good doc. So watch that.
Let me ask an important question. I'm getting conflicting reports on this.
What's that?
Is Jerry Lewis on the MDA telephone?
You know what?
Or
we'll
not?
Have to find out this weekend. Yeah, because they were saying that There were a lot of people who didn't want to perform on it because Jerry wouldn't be there and they'd have to bring Jerry back.
Fire up the DVR.
For,
because that is going to be appointment must watch if Jerry is on it.
And add something. Oh, yeah.
This. Yeah, the celebrities probably dropped out. You know who's doing the NBA telethon this
who's
year?
Who's that?
MC Hammer.
And I heard Potluck is doing it and Cottonmouth.
Dustin Diamond. It's going to be great.
And Mystical?
Mystical,
and
yeah.
Exhibit?
Absolutely. Old. It's Bushwick Bill. Is he dead?
Bushwick Bill, I think, is still alive.
Yeah.
But Brian Posehn will be there with Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Hey, everybody.
And Ron will be auctioning off Ron
It'd
to Jeremy
It'd be super
Room.
Cool if you could give some money for Jerry's kids. Because if we could just make money for pot. Doug Benson will be on the NBA telethon this year. It's gonna...
All right. So let's get out of here, Corey.
I would like to say on an off note.
And I'll have pictures on joelradio.net of some of these things, the Ron Jeremy Rum, hopefully, and me and Jimmy Walker, me and MC Hammer, and all that stuff will be up. So you guys can take a look at that stuff. While you're
all right, then. And
go over there.
You know, okay, we never talked about it on the podcast and really had no relation, but...
What is that?
The Lions beat writer Tom Kowalski.
Oh, he did die, yes.
And that was really sad. He was... I met him once. Once or twice. And he was a super good guy.
We were big fans of his writing. He covered the Lions like nobody else. And
he was, you know what? He was a big 6'5 hulking brute.
Yeah.
But a sweetheart and opinionated, a little bit sassy, a little bit cynical.
Sure.
He'd make fun of you and rib you a little bit. And but he always got it right. And
right.
Tom.
We miss Tom.
Godspeed, sir.
Yeah, Tom was great. He died at the age of 51. It was very
awful,
sad. So
but,
Tom.
Good guy.
Also, once called Joey Harrington. Anyway. Let's move on.
Well, he called something that the kids at the gathering know all too well.
All right. Good night, Tom. We'll miss
Good night,
you, buddy.
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yakov Smirnoff, yes.
Where am I?
Yes.
In Mother Russia.
In Cave in Rock, Illinois. Good night,
in
everybody.
In Russia, they cave you in with a rock.
Rock caving you.